Honorable James, good morning. And we're waiting for Honorable James members, I hope so.
Yes, Honorable Lomo, we're waiting for Honorable James, but we can check from Masole because we know about Lusoma that she might be still on the air. Honorable Lomo.
Honorable Makoni Duli, thank you very much. We are invited as health to join you. So any one of you mandated by Honorable James to assist and lead while we are locating him, we'll leave it to you. Thanks.
We've got Masole with us, the secretary, the portfolio committee secretary. Let him check the whereabouts of the chairperson. But if the chair the health portfolio committee is with us. I think if you are having difficulties with Honorable Chairperson James, that is the route that we can take. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you much. Good morning, Honorable Members. I will switch my camera off. Here in Parliament, we don't have electricity yet. Hopefully it will be on this afternoon. May I greet you and welcome you all. Here with us, we have joint committees, one public service and administration, portfolio committee members, and health. I will also be informed if there is any other portfolio committee that has joined us. I heard that a committee on monitoring might just be also joining in and logging in, as Honorable Duli is talking about Honorable Lesoma. Let us also welcome in the presence here Deputy Minister Cindy Siwe Chikunga, who is the Deputy Minister of Public Service and Administration, who also called me and indicated that she will be standing in for the minister. In fact, she was apologizing because of other pressing commitments. We also have the leadership that is going to then make this presentation to us. This is about the Section 59 findings, interim report. It's called interim report, and maybe the authors of this report will also indicate how interim and when is the final. I'm also noticing here the presence of the registrar of the medical schemes, which is key to have that person in this midst, because everything that goes with the medical schemes, he will also be able to assist us in understanding deeper. I noticed the presence of Dr. Akwena Tulare and the other leaders from the National Department of Health. After Ulindogo, she's standing in for Ms. Majalamba, who has a challenge to be going to the school of her child. I'll ask Lindogu to indicate the attendance register of the members from the Portfolio Committee on Health, and then give the Secretary for PFA to give indication for the presence and apologies of members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Service and Administration, in that order, starting with Lindogu or whoever Ms. Majalamba has asked to do that on her behalf.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Good morning, Chair. In our presence from the Portfolio Committee on Health, we have Dr. Lomo, Ms. Gela, Mr. Sokacha, Ms. Kwahube, Mr. Van Staden, Ms. Tira, Ms. Ishmael, and I think that's all. Mr. Munyai, Dr. Harvard, I think that's all that I can... Dr. Timbewai, thank you, Chair, sorry.
There is an apology that was sent to us by Honorable Wilson. She has another engagement that she cannot be able to, not to be part of this. She wrote and sent to me too. Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. This is Masole Zibeko, the Secretary for the Portfolio Committee of Public Service and Administration. On our side, we've got quite a number of apologies, as our members are also attending other committees. I was advised that Ms. Lesoma will join us later. I've got about three apologies where members are held up somewhere. In our midst, from our side as a committee, we have Honorable Komane, we have Honorable Dr. Schreiber, we have Honorable Nguli. Other members will join on a later stage, Honorable Member. I thank you so much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. May I then... is there anyone who's speaking on it? May I take this opportunity now to welcome Deputy Minister Chikunga, and we'll then allow her to make her greetings and her remarks, and then she'll then probably invite the presenters to do that. I'm not sure that we'll be invited by her or by Sipho. Dr. Sipho Kabane or whoever, please assist me because I won't be able to know now until maybe Honorable James comes in. We are just invited to be joining a very important meeting, but maybe those logistics must assist me. I just thought for now, let's get the Deputy Minister to comment and give her remarks. Then we will then be guided thereafter as to which way we go, whether we get to the Department of Health nationally or we get the Dr. Kabane, or we get the authors of the Section 59 report. Over to you, Honorable Deputy Minister.
Apologies, Chair, a quick one. I forgot to mention Dr. Gondwe from Public Service is also present in our meeting. Sorry for that, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me acknowledge all the chairpersons of different portfolio committees that have joined here today, and honourable members of all the portfolio committees that are here today, whips from different portfolio committees. We are joined by the senior managers from different departments of government, Department of Public Service and Administration, Monitoring and Planning, as well as Health. But also let me acknowledge the presence of the GEMS Board of Trustees Chairperson, Dr. Millicent, and other members of the board. And of course, I understand that we're also joined by other important guests here. We also have the Principal Officer, Dr. Stan Mulwari, and Senior Management of GEMS, Senior Managers of Government. Good morning, Honorable Members. Let me once more welcome this opportunity that is provided to us to present to yourself the work that we are doing. The purpose of today's sitting is to receive a briefing from GEMS on the Section 59 Interim Report of Inquiry into Allegations of Unfair Racial Discrimination and procedural unfairness by medical schemes. Let me mention, Chairperson, maybe as a way of reminding all of us that GEMS was registered as a medical scheme in 2005 in terms of the Medical Scheme Act 131 of 1998. In terms of that act, GEMS is a juristic person, but GEMS is not a company. GEMS rules were then amended and registered on the 13th of November 2017. According to Rule 19.1 of GEMS rules, the business of GEMS is managed by the Board of Trustees, which we refer to as the board. And that board consists of 50% of trustees that are elected directly by the members, and 50% are appointed by the employer, and they are referred to as employer trustees. GEMS rules define minister as the Minister for Public Service and Administration of the Government of the Republic of South Africa. Further, the rules define employer as the Government of the Republic of South Africa, duly represented by the Minister for Public Service and Administration. It is on this basis that the Ministry was concerned about GEMS' course of action with regards to Section 95 Interim Report. And therefore, following the release of Section 59 Interim Report, we immediately engaged GEMS, particularly the trustees of GEMS, to provide progress in various matters that had been discussed, that had been in discussion, and requested them to include a detailed briefing on the Section 59 Interim Report. Honourable Members, I believe that it is necessary that we outline what Section 59 entails. Section 59 of the Medical Schemes Act 1998 provides, one, a supplier, it says, a supplier of a service who has rendered any service to a beneficiary in terms of which an account has been rendered shall, notwithstanding the provisions of any other law, furnish to the member the consent an account or statement reflecting such particulars as may be prescribed. Two, a medical scheme shall, in the case where an account has been rendered subject to the provisions of this Act and the rules of the medical scheme consent, pay to a member or a supplier of service any benefit owing to that member or supplier of service within 30 days after the day on which the claim in respect of such benefit was received by the medical scheme. Section 3 says, notwithstanding, or subsection 3 says, notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in any other law, a medical scheme may, in the case of any amount which has been paid bona fide in accordance with the provisions of this Act to which a member or a supplier of health services is not entitled to.
Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Chikunga.
Yes.
May I disturb you? Sorry for that. I've just been alerted by our communications team in Parliament that this discussion is going live in certain media. May I request that if a space where you are allows you, you switch on your video, and any other member who is going to speak, if it allows you to be able to do so, we will welcome that you switch on your video as you make your contributions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So I was actually saying subsection 3 of the Act then says, notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in any other law, a medical scheme may, in the case of A, any amount which has been paid bona fide in accordance with the provisions of this Act to which a member or a supplier of health services is not entitled to, or B, any loss which has been sustained by the medical scheme through theft, fraud, negligence, or any misconduct which comes to the notice of the medical scheme, I underline and emphasize, deduct such amount from any benefit payable to such a member or supplier of health service. And we emphasize that. Essentially, Chairperson, Section 59 authorizes medical schemes to recoup monies paid to healthcare practitioners by such schemes where those amounts were claimed unlawfully. The process to determine whether such amounts are to be recovered and the recovery thereof is what the complaint hinges on. Healthcare practitioners assert that the medical schemes deploy a process that is racially biased, therefore resulting in more recoveries being made against Black healthcare practitioners. It must be noted that Section 59 is key to ensure the financial sustainability of medical schemes, as it offers medical schemes an opportunity to eliminate and recover unlawful payments. To present the outcomes of the briefing meetings that we held between ourselves and GEMS detailed the following: that the Council for Medical Schemes instituted the investigation into allegations of unfair racial discrimination and procedural unfairness by medical schemes. The Council for Medical Schemes conducted the investigations in terms of its regulatory mandate. The inquiry, therefore, became known as Section 59 inquiry and was mandated to investigate just two matters, briefly, unfair discrimination, and secondly, fair procedures. Honorable members, to this end, GEMS indicated to us that they have supported and participated in the Section 59 public investigation, which we appreciated and we will continue to appreciate going forward. GEMS also explained that the urgent application they submitted to the Gauteng High Court was not in any way to interdict the ultimate release of Section 59 interim report inquiry compiled by Advocate Nogai Tobi as the chairperson of the panel. But their request was to be afforded an opportunity to consider the contents of the report and comment before it was released for public consumption. They wanted the findings of the report to be presented to them first because they were affected by the report. We regarded that as a fair request. GEMS believed that it was only fair, a fair practice for Section 59 investigation panel to firstly present the report to them as affected medical schemes before it is made public. They also believed that there was a possibility that their comments could affect the preliminary outcome and findings that have impact on the final report. Chairperson, it must be understood that we agreed it was necessary for GEMS to put things into perspective. We still believe that. In this meeting, they present the outcomes of their interim report, the latest developments on the matter, and their proposed strategy and approach for the submission to the panel of the Section 59 interim report, which has a due date, I think, around March. GEMS remain, Chairperson, a progressive medical scheme for the public servant, and as the ministry, we have confidence in them. Let me allow me, Chairperson, to hand over to GEMS Board of Trustees, Chairperson, as well as GEMS Executive Management to present their report, if that is what should follow in terms of the agenda that is before the Portfolio Committee. I thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister Chikunga, for that opening, very mouthful program that we have outlined. Welcome to Dr. Mili Shatwayo. We will now invite her, if she's the one leading or if she's the one who's going to, as a board chair, who's going to introduce the members that are accompanying her, and then they will make their presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chair. I was trying to see if my camera is working, but it doesn't look like my camera is working. But good morning, Honorable Zomo, and good morning to the Deputy Minister, Dr. Sindisiwe Chikunga. The doctor thing is coming up again for Dr. Chikunga. All protocol observed. I am the chairperson of GEMS, a board of trustees. In our team at the moment, I've got our deputy chair, Mr. Mfariseni Popi, Dr. Mulwabi, our principal officer, and our chief compliance officer. I would like to take this opportunity to meet and provide information on the important issues of transformation, the interim report from Section 59 inquiry panel, and specifically how GEMS is dealing with this issue. Our Deputy Minister, Mr. Chikunga, has done quite an extensive preamble towards our presentation today. So I won't be saying much, but mine was just to introduce our team, So I would ask our principal officer, Dr. Stan Mulwadi, to lead us in the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Milly. To the chairperson, may I just, I hope I'm not out of order here. I just want to confirm that the presentation by James comes before the one from the regulator based on the agenda that was submitted, Chair. Otherwise, I'll continue with your permission.
Chair?
Mayor Komani.
Good morning, Chairperson. I just wanted to raise this point to say we have been, the latter speaker just spoke before I was going to speak. We've been presented with an agenda for today's meeting. I think it's only going to be fair that we follow the agenda that was presented to us, so that we can follow everything according. Thank you.
Okay, that's a fair request. Can the secretary flight the agenda, please, for us? Thank you.
Can you see the agenda?
I can see. Honorable
Yes, Komane. Can see it? Yes,
yes,
it's reflecting.
Yes. So, Honorable Komane, we are doing, I think we are dealing with now item number three and four.
Yes, but Chair, in terms of the agenda, we should start by the Council for Medical Scheme, not GEM.
Okay. Dr. Sipho Kabane, the agenda is as cited here, indicates that you are the first one to present, or whoever you have delegated to present. Thank you.
Right, thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm going to give my chairperson, Dr. Makiwane, to make a few introductory remarks before I start with the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, it's only fair. You are being led, Dr. Sipho. Let's get the leader who leads you to start.
Many thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Lomo. I recognize the Honorable Deputy Minister, Minister Chikunga. I understand the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration is also part of the meeting, or perhaps has not joined yet, but I'll recognize him in his absence if that is so. Members of Parliament, my fellow members of council who are here with us today, all protocol observed, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Memela Makiwane, a new council chairperson who is leading this CMS, or rather the Council for Medical Scheme team today to attend this meeting as an invite. We are here today to brief this committee on the investigative report into allegations of the racial profiling and medical unfairness against African, colored, and Indian healthcare practitioners by certain medical schemes. As committee members may be aware, the Council for Medical Schemes commissioned an independent panel, as the Deputy Minister has already highlighted, that was chaired by Advocate Tembekanu, investigation has since produced by by the investigative panel, as it is not final yet, and therefore tabled as chairman. We therefore tried to secure the presence of the chairperson of that panel be at this meeting under this presentation. And however, he assured me that in his absence, he has other prior commitments, he would send us his secretariat to come and do that presentation. From our side, the Council for Medical Schemes, I'm accompanied by the Executive Committee of Council, consisting of the Deputy Chairperson, Ms. Diane J. Blanche, Mr. Mwerane Maimani, Mr. Lusani Mlauzi, Dr. Apina Tulare, and Mr. Golani Ngobese. I also understand that other council members may be in attendance. But from the CMS management, we've got our CEO and registrar, which is Dr. Kabane, who's going to do the presentation, accompanied by the committee that does the liaison, which is Ms. Matie Nshane and Silindobuhle Mweta. I'll hand over to you, Dr. Kabane, with your permission, Chair.
Thank you very much for that, sir. We now hand over to Dr. Sipho Kabane, Dr. Memela Tembu Makiwane. Right, thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Chair, Honorable Chairs, Honorable Members, Council Members, and colleagues from the Council for Medical Schemes, as well as colleagues from GEMS. I hope that the shared presentation can actually be seen by all of us. Right, as you can see, the purpose really was to brief the Portfolio Committee on Public Service and Administration, as well as the Health Portfolio, on the investigative reports related to the allegations of racial profiling, unfairness against African color and Indian healthcare practitioners by certain medical schemes. Honorable Chair, let me upfront say that I'm not going to present the report, the interim report per se, because as the Chairperson has said, this is still under the custody of the investigation panel, and it is only them that can do that. So what I'm going to be doing today is to talk to the events, you know, leading to this investigation, and talk to the processes, and also where the where we are in terms of that. And I'm hoping it will assist the honourable members to get the necessary context to understand this investigation. Chairperson, just by way of background, around April 2019. I was summoned by the then Honorable Minister for Health, Honorable Dr. Motsoaledi, to a meeting at his offices. And in that meeting, there was a group of black, colored, and Indian practitioners that were represented by several associations, including the Solutionist Thinkers, National Healthcare Practitioner Association, as well as the South African Medical and Dispensing Practitioners, to name just a few. And the matter under discussion was the serious allegations that these service providers were alleging against the medical schemes and administrators, that they were simply not being paid on the basis of their race, and that they were being racially profiled and blacklisted on the basis of their ethnic backgrounds. And in those long discussions, people were saying that some of their practices are being closed because they are not now financially viable, and that some of the doctors were suffering, you know, serious psychosocial stressors up to a point where there were several suicide cases. So the conclusion there was that CMS, as the regulator in this space, needs to put together an investigation. Chairperson, before that investigation could be, you know, established,
As early as the 13th of May 2019, these allegations spilled over to the mass media, you know, your TV, Morning Live, etc. To a point where on the 13th of May, I also had to make an appearance on Morning Live to basically explain the context around the area under dispute. And basically, by the time we met on Morning Live, internally, we had already made a decision that we need to engage with the aggrieved service providers, as well as the affected schemes and administrators. So Dr. Mini also had a discussion with the Honorable Dr. Mutwali. And part of those discussions really led to the directive that, you know, the CMS needs to do something and investigate this approach so that we can all get to the bottom of this. So on the 16th of May, myself and the late Dr. Mini, we convened an industry engagement where we brought in service providers, administrators, schemes, and basically we listened to all the issues that people had to ventilate on the day. But what came out clearly was that we need to have a steering committee because of the lack of trust, you know, amongst the participants. We needed to have a steering committee that will basically play an oversight role and make sure that the investigation is transparent, fair, and it's open and doesn't disadvantage anyone. So that steering committee was established by CMS. And basically CMS also put its head up as the entity that needs to be behind this investigation. And we looked at our regulatory framework, and under Section 7, 8, B, C, D, Section 8A, K, as well as 9.2 of the Medical Schemes Act, you will see that we are actually empowered to conduct investigations of this nature. And basically the agreement was that this entire investigation would be conducted, you know, under the auspices of the Medical Schemes Act, and this would be led by the Council for Medical Schemes. Now, the CMS itself here has an obligation to respect, protect, and fulfill and promote the equality of the compliance with the Constitution of the Republic, which was established in 1996, and also to implement the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act of 2000. But if you look at our own Medical Schemes Act under Section 7, you'll also see that we are mandated to protect the interests of members at all times, make recommendations to the Minister of Health on the quality of healthcare services provided by medical schemes, investigate complaints and settle disputes in relation to the affairs of medical schemes, and also to advise the Minister on any matter concerning the medical schemes. So just through that Section 7, it became very clear to us that this is part of what CMS needs to be doing in order to make sure that the challenges that have been raised are actually addressed. In that discussion with the steering committee, it was agreed that this investigation cannot be conducted by the schemes, the administrators, or even CMS, and that we needed an independent, objective panel of experts to do this work. So in respect of that, CMS proceeded to appoint an investigation panel chaired by Advocate Tembeka Ndubuya-Tobi, and has amongst its members Advocate Adila Asim and Kerry Williams. And this was done on the 4th of June in 2019. This entire investigation was actually called a Section 59 investigation, on the basis that this is the section of the Medical Schemes Act that was in contention and that was, and whose implementation actually led to the allegations by the different service providers. So you'll see on this there, we've got the three member panel led by Advocate Mugai Sobi on the at the center there, Advocate Kerry Williams on the left, and Advocate Hashila Hasim on the right. So the tasks that were given to the panel was to make sure that they investigate the complaints and allegations that have been received by CMS, which related to Section 9 of the Act and Regulations 5 and 6. They were also asked to make recommendations to the CMS in relation to addressing the complaints and allegations, also to identify any trends emerging from the complaints and allegations which may require further legal or policy intervention. They are also expected to make recommendations to the CMS in relation to the appropriate further administrative, legal or policy interventions that may be required, but also to recommend in terms of the legislation and regulatory changes that need to be affected in order to address and prevent these allegations from coming up again. The panel itself took an approach where basically they looked at the Constitution, the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act of 2000, and other relevant legislation in focusing their investigation. They observed principles of natural and open justice, and they were at pains to explain to us that the panel would function as an inquisitorial body and not as an adjudicative body. In other words, they saw themselves as doing fact-finding rather than, determining the guilt and culpability of any of the parties that were involved in the different disputes. The investigation panel conducted its investigation through a combination of public hearings as well as private interviews where this was warranted. But it was only the investigation panel that was allowed to question individuals. And all the hearings were basically public. And some of the means that we took to make sure that everybody has got an opportunity to address the panel is contained in some of the calls for submission. For instance, we asked all interested people, juristic entities, institutions, and state organs to make whatever submissions they needed to do by the 19th. These were publicized in newspapers as well as the CMS website. There was also an opportunity to deliver these physically at the CMS. And basically, by the end of 19th July, we received 75 submissions, but there was an additional 163 submissions that were received after the closing date, and these were still accepted. The public hearings themselves began on July 2019 and were streamed live on Facebook, YouTube, and other media. And basically, around November, there was a request for additional submission, and this was allowed. And the entire investigation was extended to January 2020. And during that period, an additional 30 respondents appeared over 17 days of hearings. And basically, more than 1,000 members of the public attended these hearings, and the recordings can be accessed on YouTube on the link that is provided. So the interim report here in itself was delayed here because COVID-19 came in smack in the middle of that investigation. And after many delays, there was a plan to release that interim report on the 16th of December 2020. And basically, the panel had to be stopped because there was a need to brief the minister on the contents of this report so that he could understand its full implications. And after a few days delay, the minister was finally briefed on the 22nd of December, 2020. And basically, On the 16th of January 2021, the panel invited media with an intention of releasing the report on the 17th of January at 12. This release was, however, met with an interdict application by GEMS and the Board of Health. And on the date when the release was supposed to happen was actually a court engagement. And the report was finally released on the 19th of January. And basically we provided a link there for that interim report. But we've also shared copies with Mr. Zideko to share with the panel. And basically, the report is now an interim report, and an opportunity has again been created for all interested parties and affected parties to actually go through the report and make their inputs. And the deadline for that is the 5th of March. And then once the panel has received all of those inputs, it will then consider them and prepare and release its final report. So that is the status of the report itself. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. This is where my presentation ends. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Kabane. As the agenda says, after this presentation, we'll follow with the ones from then GEMS. May I apologize to Dr. Memela Makiwane. I did not get this briefing that the Board of Board of Medical Schemes is here. And I also mistakenly greeted Dr. Kwaina Tulare separately because I thought she was coming in from health. Little did I know that she's coming in under your leadership, Dr. Makiwane. Apologies for that. And then now, can I invite GEMS? But I think GEMS also is led by a board. Someone who's going to take the lead is probably Dr. Mili Hlatshwayo. Dr. Mili Hlatshwayo, is it yourself or someone else? You also will guide me because in the absence of Honorable James, I am not aware of the protocols of the leaders that you have invited, but you will guide me and indicate if you are the first one to speak before the Dr. Stan Molaiwe.
Thank you, Honorable Tomo. I did mention, I did introduce the team, and in the absence of any other thing, we will then ask Dr. Molaiwe to be the presenter, because already I did present our team from GEMS, and we did get the preamble from the DM. So I would ask Dr. Mugabe to be the presenter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson of the GEMS Board. Thank you, Honorable Dr. Sibongiseni Dhlomo. Chairperson, may I just get your guidance? I need to pace myself according to the time. We were allocated about 50 minutes. Is it still about 50 minutes, Chair?
Yeah, but thanks that your presentation came in much earlier to us. We saw it too. So members have had a look at it and read it. But nevertheless, we still want you to present, but not too slow, because it's a document that we are now familiar with. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to all the members of this committee that are present. And may I just greet by saying all protocol observed, as the chairperson has already led with regard to the greetings. I acknowledge all the leadership present here today. The content of this presentation is outlined, and I will not go through each item. We, by way of introduction, Chairperson, want to state what we know. Inequality is a worldwide problem. We, however, as GEMS, are not proud that we are part of a country that is often referred to as one of the most unequal countries in the world. But the position that you are taking on all that is happening, particularly with regards to the Section 59 investigation, is that we should not and will not be defensive. We are fully cognizant that these issues arise because of the inequality issues that we are dealing with. It is with this in mind that we undertook to analyze the Section 59 interim report, and we hereby present an overview of our response thus far. May I also mention that we are still working on the response. The time that is allowed is that we should submit to the panel, the Section 59 investigation panel, by the 5th of March, and we almost ready, we are just finalizing the reports. And then one of the things is that we really said to ourselves as GEMS that we need to determine which are the findings and the learnings that we will need to address to preserve the value that we create as GEMS for its members. We have to look at and undo the effects of the injustices of the past that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced. One important factor in the report is that we noted that we need to differentiate between what is factually incorrect in terms of the findings and those that are associated with GEMS in the report and may not necessarily apply to GEMS, and that will be part of our submissions to the investigation panel. It is important that we state that GEMS as an entity, and the DM, the Deputy Minister, did explain the status of GEMS. We are GEMS as a body loyal to the Constitution. We also regard ourselves as one of the custodians of the Constitution, so we shall not falter in being loyal to the Constitution. We are committed to non-discrimination. The context within which GEMS operates is that it is a medical scheme, as alluded to by the Deputy Minister earlier on, that we are registered in terms of the section, in terms of the Act 131 of 1988 as amended, and we carry out the business of a medical scheme based on the provisions thereof. The Board of Trustees are charged with managing the affairs of the scheme. They oversee, they are an oversight, and they manage the scheme with the principal officer and the executive team. We are reporting to the Board of Trustees. The decisions that relate to how GEMS responds to and has responded to the matters at hand are duly in accordance with the resolutions emanating from the Board while it executes its duties in terms of the Act. We thought it is important that we start this presentation by just sharing where we come from until we are here where we are. GEMS was registered, as was said, in 2005, but it was as a result of a resolution between the employer and labor in the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council. There is a resolution that led to the formation of GEMS and giving GEMS the mandate. We traveled the path that is outlined here, but the one we would love to draw our attention to is 2016, where irregular activities were identified within GEMS. There was also we found out that we are really experiencing the highest claims experienced, and the impact was that. And this is also largely because of fraudulent activity against the scheme. Then the scheme was nearly collapsed. We would love to just restate that as a medical scheme, we are required to hold 25% of our annual contribution in reserve to protect the scheme against claims that may spike due to any reasons. And COVID-19 is a typical example of what can happen. During that year, we really hit rock bottom, as can be seen that the reserve ratio bottomed out at 6.4
9999. In the next slide, I want to share about 10 cases, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, of the type of fraud that is done, that is that we are experiencing without going into too much detail on each and every case. We have shared about 10 cases just from the point of giving examples. The first case, the amount involved is just over 4 million rand, and it involves some general practitioner. The second case is 1.7 million, and it involves fraud against the scheme from emergency medical services provider. The third case involves an amount of 5.4 million rands, and it is by a registered counselor. Case number four is a case of note considering the amount that is involved. Here we dealt with a syndicate of a group of psychologists that would register numerous partnership practices, and then they would involve in various schemes against whom we identified 72 million as possibly fraudulent. And then we have the case number five, which involves just over 16 million rands. Number six, which involves a registered nurse. It's about just over 1.2. It is a very interesting case because, and I just want to mention that initially this healthcare provider was actually doing the right thing, claiming for each service, and the service here is chronic renal dialysis, and the prescribed tariff is about 900 rands. But within a short space of time, she started increasing per event the amount that she would claim when a member of GEMS is attended to. Within very few weeks, she was claiming, having started at 900 per event, she was claiming about 88,000 rands per event, and we had to do something about it. And then the next case is a case of just over 9 million by speech therapists, a hospital at 1.5, a pharmacy at 4.6, and then a dentist at just over 2 million. These are the details of these cases are contained in the slides that we have shared. But these are just examples of the type of fraud that we are faced with in this case from healthcare providers. Yesterday we woke up to the news on News 24, a report that basically referred to corruption at GEMS being unearthed in the region of about 300 million. This is not a new thing. This has been widely reported previously around 2016. And as a result of all this, the work that the scheme did relating to all these events, 7 employees were suspended, 5 of them resigned before they could face disciplinary processes, 2 were dismissed as a result of the DC processes. We have, as GEMS, filed cases relating to these matters with the South African Police Service, and the other process that is also underway is a civil litigation case to recover all monies that are recoverable. We need to state that GEMS as an organization proactively took these steps to deal with allegations of corruption within the scheme, and we are always open when we are asked about these matters. So in a nutshell, from the News 24 report of yesterday, we want to say that the matter has been addressed several times before with various publications, including the very Media 24 stable publishing about this. The scheme's annual integrated reports of 2016 and 2017 were used to provide members and stakeholders details about these reports. As part of the statutory requirement, we also provided a detailed report to the regulator, the Council for Medical Scheme. We have taken, that is as GEMS, all our members and stakeholders, including the media, into our confidence throughout the entire process, and we have provided information that is required to ensure that we are seen and are a transparent organization with regard to this issue. We just wonder why is it that this matter has been resuscitated now, particularly also because recently we have faced a lot of media attention
specifically due to the Section 59 interim report, and also, well, some of the positive things about the work we do in consultation with our employer, and this relates to the vaccination program that we are involved in. We need to just indicate that we will continue to do our work as GEMS with a view to reducing inequality. Over 1 million of the members of GEMS did not have cover before GEMS was formed. GEMS members can afford access to both public and private health care services, paying 3 per member per month. And this is on our Tanzanite options. We regard ourselves based on the work that we have done, and we can be judged on this, that we are successful and fully South African public-private partnership and an NHI pilot at school. With the numbers that we cover over 1.9 million beneficiaries. GEMS is a microcosm of the South African nation. Whatever happens in the nations, we see it within the GEMS environment. And the recent, we follow the happenings with regard to COVID very closely. And the numbers, when they change in the nation numbers, they change in a similar way within GEMS. Hence the statement that we are a microcosm of what happens. We also thought we should share the experience of Ms. Tandi, who joined GEMS when it started operating in 2006. She is a public service employee, and she earned just below 6,000 when she first joined the scheme. At that stage, she had 2 dependents. At the time of reporting this, she had 8 dependents. She's one of those over 1 million that I referred to earlier that were never covered before she joined the scheme. In 2018, by the end of the year, GEMS had paid on behalf of this family claims worth over 1.9 million rand. The main option where members of GEMS can actually enjoy full cover just by drawing from the subsidy that the employer gives is Tanzanite One. And it is a product of a collaboration between the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council, which represents both the employer and labor. We worked on this in the past 2 to 3 years and launched Tanzanite One at the beginning of 2020. We believe that Tanzanite One is a prototype of how NHI should look in the future. GEMS continues to grow. Last year during the pandemic, we experienced a very high growth with 73,000 additional members during 2020 only. And sorry, I'm actually beneficiaries, not members, both members and the beneficiaries. As I indicated earlier on, the pandemic also was upon us in 2020. GEMS paid by the end of 2020 well over 2.9 billion rand with respect to claim that were related to COVID. And we are very happy that we are able to be there for the members when they needed us most. GEMS is a transformative organization, and I think this is one of the important things that we need to really point out. The beneficiaries of GEMS, 91% of them are black. 96.7% of GEMS employees are black. Just under 70% are female, and we have just around 1.7 disabled personnel. With regard to pursuing BBBEE, about 10 of the contractors who do work for GEMS are level 1. We have 1 level 2 emerging contractor, and of the big contracts, the 5 service providers are level 1. This is the structure of the board. As I indicated, that we as management account to the board, and the board then is responsible for overseeing the activities of the scheme I am assisted by the executive committee, which is outlined there. We need to also share, which is also part of ensuring and showing that we are indeed a transformative organization. The Board of Trustees is made up of 67% African individuals. The executive is 64% African individuals. The senior managers, 62%. In terms of gender, 25% of the board is female, 55% of the executive management team is female, 58% of the senior management team is female. Dr. Kabani has already shared the background with regard to the Section 59 inquiry. I would love not to repeat what he has said, but I just want to point out that in October 2018, the first Presidential Health Summit was held, and at that summit, a concern was raised about the seriousness of threats posed by healthcare fraud, waste, abuse to the stability of the healthcare industry. And the rest of the events were already talked to by Dr. Kabani. At GEMS, we responded immediately based on what we were hearing. We had various engagements with provider associations. We started a constructive working relationship, and we continue to maintain an open door policy to any of those stakeholders who want to talk to us about these matters. One of the things that drew attention, and it was discussed on the morning live show, was the list that GEMS had. And unfortunately, that list happened to have mainly black healthcare providers. And I hope the rest of this, the slides will also show why that would be the case in our environment, where our members see mainly black healthcare professionals. A list was published on the GEMS website, and this was at the request of members, the members of the scheme. It was one of the measures implemented by the scheme to proactively inform or notify members who the healthcare providers on indirect payment are. And indirect payment is provided for in terms of Section 59.2 of the Act. We need to reiterate that this list was at the request of the GEMS members. However, because of the concerns that were raised regarding this matter, we removed the list from the website by mid-29 as part of our immediate response to the concerns that were raised about the law. The next two slides, it's basically a definition of fraud, waste, and abuse, because we thought it's important. I'm not going to go into the various definitions, but I could be asked if I need later to explain. These are the various type of fraud activities that we identify as we do the work. And then the contractors, service provider, one of the concerns that was always raised is who are the providers who do this work for GEMS? So we have, the administrator has got a section that deals with fraud, waste, and abuse. And mainly it's desktop investigations of the trends leads to identifying these cases that need more work. And then based on the work that is done within our processes, we have a panel of external forensic investigators who then would be informed which cases they must find more information about. But what is important is to know that all these field investigators are supposed to be registered to the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners so that they operate within a certain rules to protect the scheme. But importantly, all the people that are hired to do fraud, waste, and abuse work for GEMS are not given incentives for the work they conduct. They are remunerated at an agreed remuneration level, which is in line with the scope of work that is contained in the contract. And this is a very important point, because an impression was created that there is incentive paid for more for those that do more recoveries. That is certainly not the case. In this slide, we're basically sharing what has happened since 2016 in terms of the amounts. We had about 18 million that was recovered, and this is after the signing of admission of debt. And this, I need to point out that the healthcare providers who signed this were not coerced to do so. In fact, if anything, in the engagement, everything is explained to them. They are allowed, if they choose to do so, to have legal representation. The engagements are cordial, considering the circumstances under which we meet, and then they then sign willingly that they will repay the scheme. And then we have 41 million worth of AODs signed, and then the block pay is really where we have identified possible fraud after doing the analysis, but then we further engage with these healthcare providers. In the meantime, the payments are blocked. Since 2016, we have paid over 35,000 healthcare providers who claim from GEMS, and the various amounts, the practices, they continue to increase. These are the practices that claim from GEMS, and these are the amounts that we pay. But what is significant is that over 95% of healthcare providers who claim from GEMS are paid within 30 days as required by Section 59 of the Act. So it is apparent that it is less than 5% of claims that we have a problem with that we need to investigate in terms of the provisions of the Act. The next few slides, I will not go into the detail, but I will explain. In our response, we are looking at the technical aspects, and this really needs look at data analysis, and then the legal aspects. And the view that we have from our legal team is that some of the conclusions drawn by the panel are based on technical exercises which compare the proportion of black practitioners investigated for fraud, waste, and abuse, and the proportion of non-black practitioners investigated. And the non-black, we are using it in the context of the investigation, because this is a term that was used throughout. The technical work is subject to certain flaws which we are pointing out in our response. And I will not go through this, but we summarize this in some of the slides, where we say the methodology employed by Section 59 panel excluded the impact of state practices when determining the exposure. So here, basically, some of the state practices were identified, and then they were, if the name was Polokwane Hospital, then a decision would be made that no, this is a black or a non-black, and some of them were identified erroneously. And that's the same with corporate practices. So the issue of exposure, which we show on the right, was therefore not accounted for in the outcomes that were reported. For instance, within GEMS, just under 40% of black healthcare practitioners are responsible for 63.4 member interactions, which are our members. And then 60.6% non-black healthcare practitioners are responsible for about 35.7% of the interactions. And these numbers have an impact on the outcome of the work that was done. So we basically indicate here that there are certain assertions against GEMS which are premised on fraud analytics, and we have explained ourselves in our response our interpretation of the numbers. But the report also states that correlation between black patients who see black healthcare practitioner does not necessarily correlate that then there is a cause that the outcomes will show their bias. That's really the point that we are making, and there is an example of black students who are subject to societal ills, like, for instance, malnutrition, and then this would attribute to how they perform in their examinations. All of these, we are of the view that they were not interpreted properly, and we have sought to explain further in our responses, hoping that this may influence some of the findings. So the panel did not draw a distinction between the position of GEMS and that of the other schemes, some of these are in instances where we operate differently from the other parties that are mentioned in the report. Unfortunately, this creates an impression that these findings apply across the board, where we are of the view that that do not apply to GEMS are making the scheme guilty by association. So there are three areas which are the basis of the legal response, and this legal response is based on extractions from the interim report. The main issues are there is no discriminatory act, whether by omission or commission on the part of GEMS. There is clear absence of causation, the so-called the intent. And there's no unfair discrimination on the part of GEMS, and the word implicit was used. So these are the basis of the responses. We define the discrimination in terms of the act. And here we are saying there is no unfair discrimination on part of them, of GEMS, because the facts before the panel do not reveal any such conduct, whether explicit or implicit, and this is contained in the interim report. The panel does not identify any act of or omission on the part of GEMS that could possibly qualify as an act of omission, which falls within the definition of discrimination. In fact, the panel did not find any such evidence of such conduct. So through effective communication, and we're starting to do the work too, that we need to highlight that we still working hard to ensure that as an organization, the country achieves universal health care coverage through national health insurance. And the options that we have within GEMS really fit the bill in terms of promoting access to health care at an affordable level. In fact, Tanzanite 1 is the only option where public service employees that we know can enjoy 100% subsidy. So you belong to Tanzanite 1 and don't have to contribute anything. Chairperson, here we have some of the things we are doing in dealing with the issues that have come up as a result of this. We said we must anticipate and identify these issues very well. We must engage with our stakeholders. We have to now ensure that our systems, we look at them again and gear them towards identifying, monitoring all of these events. We will continue to have statements out there that really talk to, and mainly the idea there is educating our members and the healthcare providers as well, because it does happen often when we discuss with them and then we say, but why did you go this route in terms of, then they say it's because I did not know how to play. So we have identified that as one of the things, and we need to really respond to the lessons that we have learned from this whole process. These are the various stakeholders that will continue to engage on the issue of the outcomes of the interim report. And finally, the final report and the various platforms that we'll continue to use. The messages that we really want to give is that as GEMS, we continue to be a mechanism which is powerful because of the work that is done. That is the blueprint for NHI, and I've explained how the options are well suited for such an undertaking. We remain an excellent, sustainable, and effective medical scheme that drives transformation in the healthcare industry, and we are aligned to the principles of universal healthcare. We are working hard. Yes, there are challenges that are done along the way. To be the number one closed medical scheme in a healthcare industry where we are competing with open schemes.
and we will, on behalf of all its members, continue to work tirelessly in eradicating fraud, waste, and abuse to ensure the protections of the benefits of the members. I have mentioned this, but we basically started 2 years ago to start the review of our standard operating processes. We looked at how we interpret Section 59, and I'm sure there'll probably be some recommendations. There is already a recommendation in the interim report. There will be some final report. But one thing that we are already doing, our current model at GEMS is largely an outsourced model, where most of the services that are rendered on behalf of the scheme are by outsourced entities, as I've indicated on that slide on who does the work for us. GEMS has now started a process. It is underway to insource most of the services. And this, the timeline that we're looking at in terms of the insourcing of capabilities is in the next 3 years. So the insourcing of capabilities by GEMS is radically redefining the GEMS of the future. This will change the current negative outcomes about the scheme. And we think this is driven by our competitors, Chair. But this outsourcing also aligns with where the country is heading, socially, technologically, economically, and politically. And we are, as GEMS, moving away from the outsource model. There is quite a few facts that I raise basically in this, which are the things that we have said are the things the industry needs to do for us to deal with the fraud, waste, and abuse in a standard way. And some of those things also go as far as saying we really have to sign as an industry a code of conduct. And this was also came up during the fraud, waste, and abuse seminar that we held with the regulator. There is commitment from the various healthcare players that we are going to sign that code of conduct. We want to reiterate that GEMS remains committed to eradicating fraud, waste, abuse, and corruption to ensure that GEMS sustains its financial stability for the benefit of its members. GEMS reiterates that fraud has no color. I started by saying we are not proud as South Africa to be referred to as one of the most unequal society. And at GEMS, we value the position of being a responsible corporate citizen. We abide by the King-Ford principles of corporate governance. We support economic transformation, and this includes prevention of fraud, waste, and abuse and corruption. We exist in a country where we know that inequality prevails. And this photo is one of those famous photos by On Time magazine that shows this inequality. We aim to continue creating and preserving the GEMS value. We will continue, as we said earlier, an introspection that will address where we may find that we are blinded and improve on the operational deficiencies that we may identify. We are committed to playing our role, addressing systemic inequality through leveraging the relationship we have with our stakeholders and ensure that we train the providers, we train our members to ensure that they are fully aware of what is fraud and what is corruption. Chairperson and the entire committee, out of all of this, we would love to state what we know and what we believe at GEMS. We are one race, the human race, and South Africa belongs to all of us who live in it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Can you leave that slide? Can you leave that slide of times, the one that is just before this one? Yes. Honorable members, I do have a list of members of the Portfolio Committee on Health who have indicated their interest to engage with the presenters. May I request that Umbali, working with the secretary from, or maybe they will read their names so they can allocate to honorable members the space and the where you will be speaking. We normally try and do that so that you know when to speak. I don't have to come back and call your names. If I can be forwarded the list of names of members from the Portfolio Committee of Public Service and Administration who would like to engage with the presentation. But looking at that slide, looks like a majority of your members are coming in from where it's written there, the most, the world's most unequal country. That's where you actually get your membership from. And that's where you get South Africans who are cleaners in schools, in hospitals, in offices, who otherwise would not have been catered for if it were not of yourself. Then you also look at that. There's no space there, even if you wanted to build a swimming pool for our people there. It's all back-to-back shacks. And this is not something out of this world. It's in our country. Honorable members, I hope I'll be getting a list, but I did not want to read only the members. Let me just say, is the list coming in from the Public Service Administration, honorable members?
My name is there, Honorable Chairperson Manduli.
Manduli, yes, let me get the other names. Manduli, number three.
Dr. Gondwe, Chairperson.
Dr. Gondwe, number five, yes. Okay.
Dr. Schreiber as well, Chair.
Let me allocate that. Okay. I'll give you a number. Dr. Schreiber, you're number seven. All right.
Honorable Komani.
Komani, nine. Okay.
Honorable Motsepe.
Honorable Motsepe, 11. Okay.
Honorable Komani.
Yes, Komani, I took your number. Yes. Okay. I'm going to give, what be the hand? Okay, I see that. I'm going to give the odd numbers to honorable members from the portfolio committee. Yes. Losoma, you will improve your... By the time you speak, you improve your communication. I can barely hear you, but it's fine. Let me start. There's a hand that came up right up. Though it's an even number, but all members of the Portfolio Committee on Health, I'm going to give you even numbers, except for one hand that came first, which is going to be the one from Honorable Nai. Honorable Munai, you are number one. Number two is Honorable Kwahube. Please note your numbers. Number two is Honorable Kwahube. Number three is Honorable M. Makoni Ntuli. Number four is Honorable Ismail. Number five is Honorable Gondwe, Dr. Gondwe, number four.
Number five is Gondwe.
Yes, number five is Gondwe. Number six is Honorable Chirwa. Number six is Honorable Chirwa. Let me come this side. Honorable Komane, you are number seven. Number eight is Honorable Van Staden. Let's come this side. Number nine, Honorable Motsepe. Number 10, Honorable Sokacha. Number 11, have I called your name, Dr. Sheba?
No, you missed me, Chair.
You are number 11. You are number 11.
Exactly, okay.
Number 12, Honorable Gela. And number 13, Honorable Lesoma.
Oh.
Number 14, I don't know, Dr. Tembe, why I didn't see your hand. You are up
I
here.
I am.
Raised it on the platform here. Number 14 is Honorable Dr. Thembe Kwayo. Have I left out any member who would like to speak? Honorable members, if you were asking me to repeat these numbers, I won't be able to see. I'll read from this side to the other side. So, Honorable Munaya, the member is number one. Honorable Kwakhube is number two. And all other members of health are even numbers. And odd numbers are honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Service and Administration. So
Chair.
That I don't come between, okay, the Honorable Jacobs.
Yes, Chair, I've seen Honorable Shengwa just ahead of me also, and then myself on the platform. So I guess numbers 12,
number
15 is Shengwa, and 16 would be me.
You is being Honorable Jacobs, Dr. Jacobs.
Yes, thank
Please,
you, Chair.
Please, honorable members, I hope you are all alert. I'm not going to come in the middle. Follow the numbers that I've allocated you and up to number 16. Thank you very much. Let's start with Honorable...
Sorry, Chairperson. Chairperson.
Yes,
can the presenter remove this last page that he was using, please? The on the system, there appears the last page that he was using. Can it be removed, please?
The last, after
the slide.
The slide, please.
The one that is here or the slide that is after this?
It's removed now.
Okay. Right. Honorable members, please start. I won't come in the middle. You will follow one another. Thanks. Start, Honorable Munyan.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. One critical issue I want to raise that with regard to the first presentation, I think it is prematurely presented because I will advise that, I will recommend that we receive the presentation, not from the Secretariat, but from the themselves that would have conducted the investigation. In other words, to be succinctly, I'm proposing that Advocate Mugai Tobi be invited to present a complete report, not preliminary one, for the Portfolio Committee, such that we are informed of the completeness of the report. Because to receive inconclusive preliminary report will not be able to help this portfolio committee. However, we may note the report presented by the Secretariat. That is the first point. The second point, because I think what they were trying to do was to give us the context of the actual report, which really preceded the actual report itself, which is remain preliminary in this regard. So I already made my recommendations, and I think we should welcome what they've done and note it. My second input with regard to, you know, GEMS, I think really the... I'm very excited that they were able to expose corruption wherever it existed within this public scheme. So it is very important, and also the fact that they've reported it to relevant authorities to be able to deal with that corruption. And I think I was very excited to see the slide that indicate that they don't really segregate anyone, which means segregation with GEMS will not apply. That is very exciting. And I think indicating that the new board is taking practical and urgent action in addressing that corruption is something that should restore public confidence so that the members of society and members, employees of government must continue to join this credible institution. Because the leadership, the chairperson of the board, I think, and the CEO, Dr. Stern, would have clarified that they're dealing with this corruption. We can indicate, we can see improvement that has been put forward. So in that context, really, I would support that report, that this, I would recommend that this report be supported or be noted by the portfolio committee. Because it is quite true. Comrade Chair, I'm being disrupted. I don't know who have the authority to disrupt when other members are speaking.
Continue talking, King.
So I'm saying that from the state of weaknesses that they were and the progress that they're making, that is enough for us to be able, because if it will be others, they will ordinarily sweep these issues under the carpet. For the fact that they put them into bear and they acknowledge them and they're dealing with them, or they rather dealt with them, even put them to police and relevant authorities to deal with these matters, I think that's very much important to me. And the improvement that has been shown in the presentation, it's quite significant really to for us as the members of parliament to really appreciate and restore the confidence and appreciate the confidence that this institution is trying to do to improve the service in that regard. And I'm sure you will know, Chairperson, that the other private medical schemes, they don't want the existence of the public government scheme. It is contested terrain, but with the commitment and the underwriting that are made to protect those that hole that may be created by those that are trying to fraud the public service, public institution, which I think ultimately they must be arrested for them is to rot in jail in that regard. Thank you very much, and we thank you, Dr. Mili Tlajoyo, and your team, and Dr. Stan, for such a wonderful report. And I'm sure a very serious concerning about this institution person will really appreciate your work. Thank you.
Before Honorable Kwakhube, just a reminder, Honorable Members, if you are in a space where you can switch on your video, please do so. I know Honorable Munyai is having a challenge and he has indicated that to me, but if you are able to do so, please.
Thanks, Chair. I have a number of questions, and for me the questions are related to the three different entities I think we saw today. One, the question is related to Parliament. The other questions are related to the Council of Medical Schemes, and then my last set of questions will be directed to GEMS. Firstly, Chairperson, I am rather confused, and I'm bound to agree here with Honourable Munyai. I'm confused because the Council for Medical Schemes presented a report in which they said they commissioned an investigation, which was then termed the Section 59 investigation. This report was released back in January, and we've all read it and we've all seen it, I would assume, which makes some really damning findings against three main medical schemes, right? And now we've got Parliament, and this joint meeting has been convened. The CMS makes some remarks, but the very investigators that have done this investigation are not here to give us an account of the investigation that they've done in order for us to be able to interrogate that investigation and to seek questions of clarity. It's a very lengthy report and a very detailed report if you've gone and read it. And there are some interesting questions that come up for me around, for instance, how the investigations were conducted, what the terms of reference were the medical schemes all in agreement with the terms of reference, which it seems that they are. But I don't understand. It seems as though we are now putting the horse before the cart here, because we've got the CMS, which commissioned the report, but the people who did the investigation aren't here to answer certain questions. Then which brings me to my next point, Chairperson, that the report made findings against three main medical schemes. Why is GEMS here? Why are the only ones who have been invited to come and present their side of a story on a preliminary report, as Honourable Munyai has said? Again, quite confusing, because surely if there were investigations that were done and three medical schemes were identified, then if that's what we were doing, then the three medical schemes should all be here. So that's the one question, and I think it's a process one, Chairperson, and hopefully you can confer with your co-chairperson so I can understand why this was done in this way, because it seems rather confusing. Then to the CMS, I mean, you know, the CMS was the one that commissioned the reports, and it's good that they have, because ultimately it is their responsibility as the regulator. But I do want to understand, perhaps, Chair, what is then the relationship between the findings of the Section 59 investigation committee and the role of the CMS? Because it was really emphasized again that this was just merely inquisitory, this was more of a fact-finding mission. But obviously, after now this investigation is done and it's been finalized, there's going to be some findings that the CMS is going to need to utilize in order to change how business is done. And I'm quite interested in what the CMS's take on that is and why, and what exactly are they going to be doing about some of the findings. And then lastly, Chair, to GEMS. GEMS had obviously, as they said right at the beginning, had been really keen to be part of this investigation, and they were, you know, committed to it. So they agreed to the terms of reference of the investigation. Then why did they attempt to interdict? It wasn't clear to me when this was being explained. Why then did they seek to interdict the report from being tabled? I would assume that if they were being onboarded throughout this whole time, that they would have been okay with the report being released, or at least the preliminary report being released. So that wasn't quite clear to me. And I would like to then understand what remedial action has been taken by the medical scheme following the findings that have been done by this investigation. And again, I think Chair, the excuse that old corruption allegations are being reheated is simply not good enough. I think it's important that the medical scheme tells us exactly how, you know, what remedial actions again have been taken, because 300 million rand and allegations around corruption for them is no child's play. And so it would have been more useful to hear how the medical scheme has now investigated and rectified the situation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chairperson? Chair, it's Mantuli here.
Go ahead, Ma'am Mantuli. I won't come in the middle. Yeah.
Yes. Chair and the meeting, we would love to welcome the report. Chair, indeed, eradication and fighting corruption, the fraud, is equal to rooting out corruption. To create the ethical environment in any work of place. Chair, I wanted to check first with the council to say what is their view regarding the requirements to be briefed and make inputs before the release of the interim report that led to the interdict. Was it a fair request in their views or not? Why did it take a practitioner to raise the issue of discrimination when they are the regulator? Is it because their systems cannot pick up these issues? Why? What is their role in dealing with fraud, fraudulent claims by practitioners? And again, Chem, irregular activities reflected way back. And why such a delay to hold the summit that was also going to assist in raising the
the awareness and to prevent fraud. Two GEMS. GEMS, I wanted to check whether do you provide a members capacity building as terms of references and the guidelines or guidance to your members so that a member knows as and when the member is heading for the a fraud or corruption. And one other thing, I wanted to get the clarity because some members some fraudulent resigned. And as to what happens when you are under investigation and then you resign, do you get all your benefits and just escape like that? And also, I wanted to check in terms of levels, which from 1 to 16, which level seems to be conducting these frauds? You will remember that earlier on I've asked the capacity building given to members. And lastly, to say what is it that is unconsidered? The distinction that is unconsidered between GEMS and other schemes. That GEMS would love the panel to look at. Yeah, that's my take, Chair. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the presentation. First, let me apologize. I'm experiencing major network problems, so I won't put on my video. Chair, can we make a ruling to decide whether we should be, asking questions to CMS or should we wait for them to come back, please? Chair, or must I just continue?
Sorry, that's okay, Ms. Ismail.
I want you to find out what are we deciding on CMS. Should we address questions to them or should we wait for them to come back to us?
They have made a presentation already. From what they have presented, we could ask questions. Other members have already started doing that, so you can also continue doing the same.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Then to CMS, my first question. According to Advocate Tembika, the schemes that violated the Constitution by making findings against professionals without affording those accused the opportunity to answer to the charges against them. He further stated that CMS ought to provide individual relief to affected doctors. Please, can you advise how many doctors were really affected? How many complaints did you receive from doctors and how many doctors had to close down? To Jim, I have a few questions. One, there are allegations in the media that the scheme had appointed and paid more than 300 million rand to companies in which some of its executives had direct financial interest. Please advise what processes and procedures were followed to ensure that this was not a conflict of financial interest. Secondly, please provide a list of the companies appointed by the scheme and how much each company was paid that amounted to more than 300 million rand. Thirdly, according to Advocate Mbeka, where medical schemes deducted money unfairly from health professionals, they should pay it back. Has money been paid back where applicable? Fourthly, what checks and balances will you put in place to ensure that there will be no looting and corruption during the NHGRI implementation process and beyond? Fifthly, so GEMS will be responsible to fund clinical care and related costs. It's going to be more like a national funding scheme. Now, in the public healthcare environment currently, it faces chronic issues of late payments, not paying overtime, system errors and issues. How will GEMS overcome these chronic issues? And lastly, opportunity for fraud and corruption with management of this fund is very high. Will the allocation of funds be on an automated system or program to ensure that detailed monitoring and prevention of influence, you know, is high on manual payments? You know, we know on manual payments, the opportunity for fraud and corruption is very high. Will GEM really use an automated system or program? Thank you.
Chair, can I ask my question?
Yes, ma'am, if you note your number, go ahead then.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by thanking GEMS and the Council for Medical Schemes for the presentations, and also the DM for her opening remarks. I have a number of questions for GEMS. They indicate that medical schemes are legally required to hold 25% of their annual contributions received in a reserve so as to ensure that they're always in a position to cover the claims that they receive. In 2016, I noted from the presentation that their reserves dropped to an all-time low, and they attributed this to fraud, waste, and abuse. And I recall there being extensive media coverage around the drop in their reserves and the possibility of them being declared insolvent. Are they sure that the drop in the reserves can be attributed solely to fraud, waste, and abuse? Because I also picked up that in 2015, the reserves were also quite low. I think they were at 9%. And I would like them to confirm whether this was also attributable to fraud, waste, and abuse. And then in 2018, there was a presidential healthcare summit that was held, and GEMS indicates that the purpose of the summit was to discuss the threats posed by fraud, waste, and abuse to the stability of the healthcare industry. Were healthcare providers part of the summit? If yes, did Black care health providers voice their concerns around being unfairly treated by medical aid schemes on the basis of their race or ethnicity? And what were the outcomes of this particular summit? And then at the beginning, towards the end of February, rather, in the beginning of March, there was a fraud, waste, abuse summit also held. I want to find out what the outcomes of that particular summit were, and were discrimination concerns raised by Black health care providers attending this summit? Or were these allegations only raised for the first time on the 13th of May 2019 during the Morning Live interview? And then they also indicate in their presentation that they took a decision to publish, you know, a list of healthcare providers that were being indirectly paid by the scheme on their website following a request by members to do so. I want to find out, did they consult or inform the affected healthcare providers in this regard? Is there a legal obligation that mandates them to actually inform healthcare providers that are now put under an indirect payment system from being directly paid in terms of Section 59(2) of the Medical Schemes Act? And then they also indicate in their presentation that the list was later removed from their website in mid-2019. I want to get an idea of how long was the list up on their website. They also indicate in their presentation that there are a number of technical flaws that are contained in the interim Section 59 report. And one of them is that it overlooks that public hospitals and private hospitals are arbitrarily assigned a race based on their practice number by the GEMS FWA system. I want to find out, why does their system assign a race to private or public hospitals? Why assign a race at all to a service provider when you're trying to determine whether, you know, there's a fraud, waste, and abuse? And then my colleague, Honorable Kwarube, has covered me under the interdict. I want to find out why they interdicted the release of the report in the first place, if they feel that their practices are not discriminatory in nature and they have adopted a zero-tolerance approach towards all forms of discrimination, as the presenter indicated that fraud has no color. And then I want to find out about, they indicate that the FWA operation review was done 2 years ago. I want to find out whether there's another review in the pipeline in light of the Section 59 investigation and the lessons that they indicate they've learned from the investigation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Irwan. Honorable Chirwa, I think it's your turn now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was under the impression that I was going to be number seven. The institutions of GEMS and CMS. I want to lend a very serious and great concern to both their capacity. I mean, I'll start with CMS. Because there's a wide range of issues for the CMS faces, but because particularly today, the issue is the Section 59 report. I'll start with the issue of Ms. Lethabo Sekele, which I'm aware that you're aware of. Ms. Lethabo Sekele is a young black woman who was contesting to this is around 2020.
Okay. Honorable Chirwa, maybe your camera may, if you switch off, you can improve your communication.
On the 11th of June 2022, an outcome come out. She gets a communique from CMS that she can no longer I'm more audible now, Chairperson.
Much, much better.
Chairperson, so I was saying with the issue, a very grave concern, because at the center of this, we find the CMS being the instigators of discrimination and bias against a said person that I'm mentioning, because the conflict of interest that outruled her from contesting the board of MedShield is because she got a surprise baby shower from her colleague and a bouquet of flowers that she did not ask for, that she was not aware of. And yet the CMS goes to find the very same person illegitimate to contest the board of MedShield. So on this particular issue, I'd really like to intervene on such a matter on the last day when the election results were supposed to be read out, which she has contested, was nominated, and she has never been flagged before. And mostly because this issue had been resolved by a different entity or the board prior to that, to outrule the issue of conflict of interest, but primarily because it is actually concerning that the CMS can outrule a candidate of a medical aid scheme, a young black woman who's 30, from contesting the board of MedShield because she received a bouquet of flowers. And I think that is something that the committee should also take seriously, that the CMS should come back, post this engagement, because there's many issues that are haunting the CMS. You've cited the issue of your workforce being reduced. You've cited the issue of not having enough personnel and staff personnel, infrastructure issues, the resources, and all of those issues. But here, in the case like this, we see that even on your side, though you are the frontliners of ensuring that the Section
59... Ms. Chira, your line is very faint now. Your line is very, very faint. Ms. Chirwa, Honorable Chirwa, your line is very, very faint. I don't know whether we can try and ask you to improve it.
Convening the council for that purpose. We find that even on grave instances and being involved in such grave medical aid scheme, because she received a surprise baby shower and a bouquet of flowers.
The only point I've had so far was...
Chairperson, I'm back on. I don't know if my connection is much better, but I can continue from here.
Please move to the second point now, and this one is done. Yeah. Otherwise,
yes,
we are losing
thank
you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And also in relation to CMS, which recommendations from the Section 59 report and the CMS facilitated in implementing to date following the release of the Section 59 report? And which recommendations has the CMS rejected? And what is the reason for the rejection of those particular recommendations? And thirdly, what efforts have been transformative efforts in medical aid schemes? I think what we also can agree upon is that the regulations done by the CMS in relation to the private sector medical aid scheme, not in relation to practitioners, but in relation to the practices of the medical aid schemes themselves, is actually not enough. There isn't enough effort to ensure that a multi-billion industry is being regulated efficiently and sufficiently. And I think I would like an update because this is also a concern that we raised as to us, Wuti, how do you capacitate the CMS to ensure that it carries out its duty of facility of regulating the private sector efficiently and sufficiently? And questions for Jen, it's also quite disappointing that we are subjected to justification of such a horrible outcome in regards to the investigation, that we are now being told and given poetics of the position of GEMS, when in actual fact the report says otherwise. Firstly, in regards to the 300 million scandal which GEMS is involved in itself, after having done so many efforts to outrule black practitioners, we find that GEMS itself is corrupt, is found to have fraudulent cases against itself. Who or which are those companies which are said to have been paid over 300 million to which some of their executives have direct financial interest? And who are these alleged executives? Can we please have names, especially because we are appearing before a portfolio committee of health? The vagueness around the situation should be brought to much clarity. We want to know which are those companies by name. We want to know which are those executives where conflict of interest or where financial interest has been picked up in this particular scandal of GEMS. And secondly, the corruption at GEMS has been happening for over a period of 5 years in relation to this 300 million. It is only being flagged now and responded to now. When did the alleged corruption start or begin as per the reports that have been put out on media? What took the scheme so long to uncover the corruption? And beyond opening criminal cases systemically, what has the scheme done for preventative measures in rooting out corruption in GEMS, in rooting out racism in GEMS, beyond the poetics that we are receiving in this portfolio committee through your presentation? Quite frankly, it does not make a difference what you say is your belief or your policy if it is not implemented at ground level. And because the ramifications of these particular biases result in actual livelihoods being brought to an end, result in families not having an income, result in people taking their lives, it cannot be the GEMS comes to the portfolio committee and sing some poem on how they believe in transformation when they have ruined the livelihoods of health practitioners. 3 times more for social workers and psychologists, in majority which are black women practitioners. This has to have a gendered lens. It has to have a racial lens, which you have failed to entrench systemically as GEMS. And we need accountability on that part. Ubuti, how have you responded to each and every case brought to your table, in each and every case where you have been found to be racist? How have you self-corrected? How have you ensured that the people that you were racist against as a medical aid scheme have found justice to date? And if you can give us cases, instead of giving us the top 6 cases of fraud, we want to know about this particular case, that you are racist as a medical aid scheme. How do you account to the people who have lost their lives? How do you account to their families? How do you account to people who have stopped practicing because you were racist? What is the accountability on that part? What have you done to self-correct? What have you done to ensure that justice is served? And lastly, with the issue of outsourcing, I think this goes for both CMS and GEMS. I think now the country is moving very fast in ensuring that we build capacity in entities, especially if they have an affiliation to the state. What are the efforts that are being done to ensure that outsourcing is something that is being cut in the very least, and that insourcing is facilitated or being implemented in both GEMS and CMS? And particularly CMS, when you came in 2019, there was a you reported a very high backlog of grievances, and you cited that obviously the issue of staffing and human resource was an issue. Can we have an update on how many what the backlog is in relation to the grievances that are raised to you by members of med schemes and by general practitioners to date, and what has been done to resolve the previous backlog, and where you are now in terms of the backlog, and what will be done or is being done to resolve the issue of the backlog? And in relation to GEM, I think even for the portfolio committee, it should raise a very grave concern, because this is one of the medical aid schemes that are seen in the front line of having to administer the NHI. We cannot have, despite the fact that the NHI is not sufficient to fix our health system and our health crisis, and to usher a non-racist health system, it must worry us that the frontliners of the medical aid schemes that will be entrusted with facilitating the NHI, GEMS is there. When GEMS is found to be corrupt, when GEMS is found to be racist, when GEMS is found to just be ticking off the boxes of transformation, but in actual fact, having such grave cases at their table, at their doorstep, and also justifying those instances as they have done today in this portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. While one acknowledges the report presented before us, I also think that it is premature for this committee to be receiving a preliminary report, particularly that the chairperson of the investigating committee was invited late. I think it should be noted or be agreed upon that we should maybe re-invite the investigators. And Chair, it is also very frustrating for us to be having GEMS, only GEMS, before this portfolio committee, whilst we have three schemes that are flagged in the report. I think it was only fair, if it is fair for GEMS to come and account, it was also fair for the other schemes to also be invited to this committee. And Chair, one would as well pick up from the presentation that there are members who are suspended and some have resigned after committing the acts of corruption or and others. But then those suspensions are the bearings of the disciplinary actions. How far has the entity gone in terms of the recovery process? Because we cannot only find people who commit fraud and they only go through disciplinary processes. And the other fact here that is very worrisome is that, and this is a trend, it goes far back, that when people have committed fraud and when disciplinary measures have been instituted, the said people would then resign, and they would pocket their money, and their recovery rate would as well be low. Then I think they should as well maybe indicate to us how far is the recovery process, and how do they, what is the mechanism that they are using to make sure that they recover the cost before people pocket their money after having defrauded the system. Hey, having listened to the insourcing point, I think it is going rather too slow to say they have planned it over three years. It is quite disappointing. I think one would ask them to do it with speed, because we need to insource people, chairperson. And the deputy minister, she said it was fair for them to interdict the publishing of the report. Was James not informed of the investigations? Why would they want the first? Why would they want to be first suited with a draft? Why would they want to be treated with speciality chair? Or does the deputy minister insinuate that she also shares the sentiments with James that they should support their interdict to the report? I think that is a bit unfair, but maybe the deputy minister would then advise on that. Chair, again, where the termination of direct payment to providers where FWA is proven and payment is made to the member or the scheme, does the scheme investigate first, or does it merely pay out to a member? If so, does this not perpetuate to fraud on its own? Because what is the reason for you to investigate after you pay? Because you need to investigate whether your payment is legit or not. So I really don't understand. And Chair, lastly maybe, according to the fraud, waste and abuse policy, how long is it provided for fraud liable providers to pay the money? What happens then, Chair, if the defaulter, what happens to that defaulter after that defaulter has admitted the debt? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before Honorable Fastaden, I like the way you're finishing, Honorable Komane. You say last one, maybe. You are indicating that it may not be the exact last one, but it became the very last one. It's a very good way of preparing a chairperson that you can actually wait for you to make the very, very last one. Honorable Fastaden.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is directed to James regarding the 300 million which surfaced in the media yesterday, the fraud and corruption on that. I just want to know what steps have James taken to ensure that the persons responsible for this fraud and corruption has been prosecuted. And I want to know what steps have you taken from your side to help the police in these investigations and to ensure that these people are being prosecuted. And the second question on this, are these people still in your service or are they placed on special leave till these investigations are completed, or have they completely resigned already out of your organization? And then my third question is, as a possible future administrator of the NHI fund, what guarantees or assurances can you give us today that this sort of fraud and corruption will not surface in terms again while you're going to be the administrator, possibly, in the future of the NHI. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Is it Honorable Motsepe following?
Thank you, Chair. I've got two questions here which I would like to ask. First one is, have you started all this medical scheme without establishing steering committees, knowing clearly that there is money involved and is where most corruption is? How do you monitor and evaluate all your schemes? You waited until misconduct or corruption to appear first before you can act. Now, second question is, in 2016, when corruption started or fraud, it was now then started to discover it during 2019. That there is inequality. Again, I'm still emphasizing the issue of monitoring and evaluation system. You have said most of the GEMS applicants are blacks and are female. So the scheme is taking advantage of these employees who are most members of the scheme. And we have already seen on the slide that you have shown us. And then the third one is, who recruited those who are doing this investigation, and what was the criteria used to do so? And then we would like you to recruit permanent workers, not temporary, like outsourcing employees. The last one is not a question, it's a clarity that Mr. Stan Mulwadi said Medical Scheme Act number 13 of, I don't know whether it was 1998 or 1988, but he said it is 1988 as amended. Maybe it was something wrong there. Can you please correct that? Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Next, from the NA side, from the Portfolio Committee Health.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me thank the Deputy Minister for her input. Thank Dr. Gabane for the input that he has made, and also thank the colleagues from GEMS for the input that they have made. Very good inputs from all the three institutions. Thank you very much for that input. Chair, just three clarity-seeking questions from GEMS. The first one, Chair, is around the issue of their financial situation. How has this issue of corruption affected their financial situation as GEMS? And secondly, the issue of corruption, how has it affected services that are supposed to be rendered to their members? And then lastly, Chair, how ready is GEMS in as far as the implementation of the NHI is concerned? Are they ready if the NHI is agreed to say, let's implement it by tomorrow? Will they be ready to implement the National Health Insurance? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Next is, I think, Dr. Schreiber.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, my questions are really to echo the fact that I believe it's quite strange that we didn't have the investigators who compiled this report here today, because I think there are a number of issues that arise when one reads the report, but also when looking at the GEMS presentation that really requires, I think, a response from investigators. So I would support a proposal to get the investigators to come and speak with us. But perhaps even bigger than that is the question of whether an interim report of this nature should be discussed at this point, given that it is still interim. Isn't it something that we should have waited for the report to be finalized? Especially, and I would like to put on record some of the major concerns that emerges from the report, and I think, if I'm understanding correctly, that is actually shared by the GEMS representatives. Chair, I'm quite astounded by the reference to the fact that the investigators classified people into race groups on the basis of their surname. I don't understand where the legal basis for that could possibly come from. And so if you're going to make findings related to someone's race, the question of how you classified them is critical. And yet there seems to be no basis in law for the way in which people were classified. And I think it was recorded in the GEMS presentation that people or practitioners were classified on the basis of their surname, and then even there was a reference to if someone works at the Polokwane Hospital that they are classified as black. It seems highly unscientific and without any foundation in law. I also have to reference the fact that there seems to be quite a heavy reliance on something called critical race theory in this report. My question would be, where on earth in our law does the concept of critical race theory exist? What is the basis for relying upon this, especially when it appears that the report concedes that there is correlation, but very little causation in their findings, and potentially a failure to account for other variables? I think this is something that multiple medical schemes actually raised in their comments, that the approach to this study seems to be highly unscientific and not controlling for potentially confounding or intervening variables. or even entertaining alternative hypotheses, be relying on identifying cases on the basis of people's surnames and classifying them into race groups based on that, and then using something called critical race theory, which doesn't exist in our law, to reach a certain conclusion. My question is a very simple one, Chair. Based on this, and based on what the GEMS presentation contained, essentially refuting a lot of the so-called findings in this interim report, is that will GEMS be reviewing this report in court so that we as committees can be aware where this process is, and that we can only really engage with it once it has been finalized and potentially reviewed? Is there a plan to review this report in its entirety in court if the interim report, if the final report continues along the same lines as the interim report? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Is it then, Dr. Chembekwa, you're not the next one to come in?
I think it's Gela, Honorable Gela.
Okay.
And followed by Soma, and then I'm number 14. Or I can speak if there's no one.
Honorable Gela, are you on?
Yes, Chair, I'm on.
Yeah, next. You're the one now, next.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity, and also let me welcome the presentation, Chair. Chairperson, I want to support Honorable Munyai to say that let's have a meeting with the investigation panel that is shared by Advocate Tembeka Mukai Toby, so that at least as portfolio committee, we have a full report. And also the other issue, Chair, from the GEMS presentation, I want to welcome their report as being presented to us, and also thank them for coming forward to the portfolio committee to present their report as it is. And also, I like that there is no room for corruption in GEMS, and really we see the progress that GEMS is made in fighting corruption as a... And also, Chairperson, other questions were asked, but also I'm also happy that they have a door open policy in place to accommodate their members, and also they are transparent to make sure that they raise all these issues, and also showing that they are ready, and also making sure that they are not hiding any corruption. I think they are also ready for NHI Chairperson, but also making sure that at least we really invite the investigation panel Chairperson to come and present to us, and we really support that Chairperson if it can happen as a matter of agency so that we can move on, Chairperson. Some of the questions were raised, Chairperson, the issue of the investigations for the mid-payment was also asked, Chairperson. So most of the questions that I wanted to ask and they were raised, but I want to take this opportunity to thank the Deputy Minister for her input, and we have a confidence that they will deal with this corruption. Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, Honorable Gela, don't be tempted to answer for them. There's a question that says from Honorable Sokacha, please give us an indication of your readiness if it was to start tomorrow, the NHI. So leave them to answer for themselves. After Dr. Tembekwayo, is Mama Shengwa on the platform? What I don't see her here now, I heard that she had raised her hand. If she's not, after Dr. Tembekwayo, it would be Honorable Lesoma.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good day, colleagues, and also good day to the team led by the Deputy Minister of DPSA. There are a few points that I would like to say, Chairperson, but in support on the points that the first speaker, Honorable Monyai, raised, to say that from your good self, this is my first point now, from your office chair and DPSA Chairperson Portfolio Committee, you must assist us to separate your health committee issues and oversight responsibility and the overlapping oversight responsibility in terms of us as members of parliament doing our oversight. That when we sit in a joint committee like this one, we only focus on the scheme that by law reports to us through the minister responsible. So I'm saying, because like your permit, your GEMS, those are the ones, but they are not interested by all any means.
Honorable Sokacha, please order your banana with your mic muted. Okay.
I'm sorry, Chairperson.
So I'm saying, Chair, let's then sit out the bodies and the medical aid schemes that would like to sit as a joint committee and the ones that a portfolio committee of health is responsible, so that we don't create a blur line between the two portfolio committees. Honorable Munyai and the other speakers, let's wait until the 5th of March, when we hopefully by that time the final report would have been released, and then we invite the commission to come and present and speak for themselves in their report. Three, Chair, probably what has come through for me, Chair, is that I'm not questioning the capacity and the capability of very capable men and women who are board members of GEM, but probably their terms of reference or the risk system should be tightened a little bit so that they are proactive mitigating factors to avoid the brewing breeding of potential corruption, as it were, because it came very clearly, because it can be in compliance with King 4 report as it stands. But in terms, if your system doesn't respond to that, it might not assist you. As you can see now, somewhere it does fail the scheme as per the presentation. But I'm not saying that 100% is failing them, but I'm saying probably it will help for them to revisit the terms of reference, so that other issues and other questions that the members have asked, I think the board must be seized with to say how best they can also respond. That probably our status parliament, but I haven't pinned down the exact laws in terms of that government health space and regulations, that probably they need to be looked at so that we can be also empower ourselves as the oversight body. The very last one, Chairperson, is that which I would see clarity, I think DM may assist and forgive my ignorance on that one, is that this medical aid schemes, in particular those ones who are government medical scheme, as it were, I'm using that word very carefully, audited by HD or for their private auditors, as it were. And who are those who audit their books and their workings and the internal audit committees? Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. And I welcome the preliminary report, as it were, and the bigger part will find it when we engage in the next time. But I'm sure other questions that my honorable members, colleagues have raised, we'll get them in writing the responses, so that also in our follow-up meeting, we're able also to check whether what they've said and what they will be presenting would still be the same or not. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Dr. Thembi Kwayo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for this opportunity. But I just would like to say, I really don't understand what was the urgency of having this meeting today. Why? Because as the other members of parliament
has stressed to say to the CMS that it would very much be fair enough to would have allowed the opportunity to be given to advocate Mukai Tobi to be here today to do the briefing to us, not the vice versa. Because the problem is the third person can always say something out of proportion to suit his own intentions. And because he's not here, it's difficult for us to accept the authenticness of the report as we are receiving today. And secondly, to repeat the same question to say, why James only? Why James only? Because the report talks about three medical schemes. Why can't James wait for the other two to join him so that the deliberations can be done to accommodate all those that are affected in this? And to James, I would like to say, there is no smoke without fire. The issue that was reported on News 24 yesterday of the 3 million rand, an issue of this magnitude cannot be reported, say for an example today, and you quickly give a reaction and on the allegations of such fraudulent behavior to say this matter has been resolved. How possible is that? Do you think we are convinced enough to can accept your explanation? No, it's not acceptable. You are supposed to give yourself enough chance to engage on this matter so that you can report correctly on the matter of this financing. It's not 3,000 rand that they are talking about. It's 300 million, say, and your company. The following one is based on the slide on board and management. The one that talks to a specific reference to a vacant post of chief operation officer to say this position of an officer, chief operation officer, is very important because the person would have been able to oversee the functions of most specifically the person who's doing the administration and transactions. It's because of the transactions that we talk about this the 300 million. How are you going to, how quickly is this vacant post to be filled? And I'm not satisfied. I'm concerned about the female, the gender representation, that is the 25% on the board. And why is it like this? It's not fair. It's just 25% to 75% representation of male. Not now, not in this era. We're moving toward the same 50-50 representation, even in board of trustees. The last one is, you made, the presenter of GEMS made a statement that GEMS is an integral part of NHI. And you also claimed to be excellent and efficient. But at the same time, GEMS is plagued by fraud. How can we trust you in connection with the handling of finances in the NHI initiative? Thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity. And
if Mama Shengwa is not there, the last one is Honorable Dr. Jacobs. Is Mama Shengwa on the platform? No. Dr. Jacobs, you are the last speaker. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to welcome the presentations and also the opportunity to give some input. Now, the interim report of the Section 59 inquiry is broad-ranging But it also makes very serious findings, which are very concerning. And I've read that report. There are 29 sections to that report. And it's very, very concerning that we should be interacting with it in this way. And we suggest that maybe we can get another interaction on the report itself. So the question was raised as to why do we interrogate an interim report. I think it's important that we do so that when a report is final, we would have had an opportunity to give some input, Chair. Now, there are three very important findings that I just want to raise, and I might not be asking many questions now. I'll be giving quite a bit of comments because so many questions have been asked. The one is that apart from raising unfair racial discrimination, in its findings by medical schemes, it also speaks to unfair processes by medical schemes and administrators. And then thirdly, about a power imbalance between the schemes, the administrators, and the service providers in the settlement negotiations. Now, we've seen this come on for a number of years where medical schemes, because of the power imbalance, decide to withhold payments or to pay monies to members, and the poor service providers never see those monies again. We really need to interrogate this very deeply and discuss this on behalf of all people in our society, including our service providers. So those findings seem to me very serious findings. We should note an outcome of the inquiry where there was a substantial difference in the outcomes of fraud, waste, and abuse between black and non-black practitioners over the period January 2012 to June 2019. And there's a long discussion as to how it's come to those facts being captured within the report. It is something we should really look at, whether the schemes have really been profiling our black practitioners. And then further specifying that the three medical schemes which are mentioned, which are MedScheme, Discovery, and GEMS, are more likely to identify black providers as having committed fraud, waste, and abuse. I think it just deems for us, it makes it necessary for us to have thorough investigation, thorough discussions in the near future. We must also be mindful of the major stresses which our service providers were having during this time, and it's been for a very long time. And I've been speaking with quite a number of doctors who are quite stressed about what the medical schemes think they could do in order to address that challenge.
Everyone, good afternoon.
We can imagine that the medical schemes do have challenges, and it's not true that there is no such thing as fraud, but really we should look at how that is attended to. It is also true that black practitioners see virtually only black members of the public, and so they already have the disadvantage in that sense that they hardly see members of the public from, for example, the white race. Already that is really a challenge to our practitioners. And then on top of that, them having, the inquiry having found that 47% of black providers are found guilty of fraud and waste and abuse by the medical schemes. I'm really talking here on behalf of what is correct and fair and proportionate in terms of providing services and being paid for the services and providing a service to the communities and the public. And then lastly, Chair, on the purpose of our briefing, it should be noted that it was not on the NHI. The GEMS will be provided an opportunity to present to the Health Portfolio Committee on the NHI bill, so maybe not for them to preempt what will be still be coming in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, that was the last one. I only have one question to Dr. Stan. Those cases 1 up to 10, that you had, were they cases of communities that are either black, Indian or colored according to your findings? The other comments I'll raise when we maybe finish the meeting. Thank you. You can maybe start. I'll probably allow the Deputy Minister to start first. There was a question that was relating to her, and then we'll allow Dr. Kabane, the first presenter from the Council of Medical Schemes, and then followed by Dr. Sten and her team, and also okay, let me start with Dr. Matiwane might be the one who'll answer, and then we'll go down to the other institution, maybe starting with Dr. Sladwayo. Let's start in that order. Deputy Minister first.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I thought I would be the last to say something.
Okay. Deputy Minister, let me not impose. If you want to be the last, that's fine. Usually you would want to cover everything. You are a sweeper. Okay. Let us give it in whatever order and arrangement. But Council for Medical Schemes must come before GEMS, please.
Right. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will field most of the questions, but I think members of the team can feel free to add. Chairperson, just on the first few questions and comments here, with relation to the presence of the investigation panel, I think we fully support here the fact that, you know, in their absence, this conversation will not be complete. And we support the view that they need to be here to present their reports so that they can also field any questions that are directed at them. Chair, there was a question in terms of the relationship between the panel and the role of the Council for Medical Schemes. Yes, it is true that the Council for Medical Schemes commissioned the investigation panel in terms of the Medical Schemes Act, but there's always been an understanding that the investigation panel is actually independent in terms of the work that they would be doing. And in fact, our expectations, you know, have turned out to be true, that some of the findings and the recommendations would actually be directed at the CMS itself, confirming that, you know, CMS should not have been the one that does the investigation by itself. Without going into the details, Honorable Chair, some of the findings are directly, you know, related to the work that CMS does. There is reference to several definitions that need to be encoded in the Act or regulations. There's also the interpretation of Section 59 itself that needs to be reviewed and corrected. But there's also a regulatory gap where CMS needs to start working very closely with the Health Professional Council of South Africa to make sure that, you know, there is no gap in terms of the regulation of the health professionals and their conduct, as well as the regulation of the schemes and administrators and their conduct. There was a question, Chair, that was asked about the views of CMS on the GEMS interdict. I think, firstly, Chairperson, when the interdict came, it was directed at the panel itself and not CMS. And I've already said the panel is actually independent of the CMS, even though it is ourselves that commissioned it. And the panel was actually left to defend that interdict. And we believe that our role was to just observe, especially because we are an affected party. And in a sense, we could not have joined the panel in fighting this interdict by hand. But as for the view of the outcome, Chairperson, I don't think CMS has said and, you know, deliberated on this, but we take our cue from the court ruling and we have accepted that. And then there were several questions in relation, Chairperson, to why CMS had to made before commissioning this kind of an investigation. And I think in terms of the context, Chairperson, these issues of fraud, waste and abuse, they've got a long history, you know, that has been there since the PIMS and CMS were established. And this center around the interpretation of the Act and how the different parties conduct themselves around this. So when there was a Presidential Health Summit in October 2018, CMS, together with a large number of teams, were part of that year. And as a result, as early as March 2019, a few months before the eruption of the allegations, CMS had coordinated the entire medical schemes industry and other key regulators into what we called the Fraud, Waste and Abuse Summit. And basically, we included service providers, that is your doctors, physiotherapists, and all the people that provide services. We also invited medical schemes, administrators, and all other key stakeholders. And the idea was, how do we ensure that there's a standard interpretation of the definition around fraud, waste, and abuse, which we believe contributed to specific conduct by different stakeholders. And then we also thought we needed to have some kind of an agreement that would bind all the stakeholders together in matters of fraud, waste, and abuse. So the outputs of that first fraud, waste, and abuse summit that was coordinated by the CMS were basically a set of definitions around fraud, waste, and abuse that were adopted. And then secondly, there was also a fraud, waste, and abuse industry charter that was adopted. And we were planning to have a second fraud, waste, and abuse charter, okay, where we would have adopted code of good practice as well as, dispute resolution mechanisms as proposed. So CMS has been working with the industry, even at the time when the allegations erupted. So as CMS, what we are going to be doing as part of our input is to make sure that all the efforts that we have been coordinating with the industry find their way to the panel so that they can also have an understanding of the broader context. Because when you look at some of the issues that are being raised are also related to work that has already been covered. So, Chair, there was also a question of whether we have kept statistics of the complaints related to Section 59. Yes, those we can compile and support and provide these to the portfolio committee. But I'm afraid we do not have statistics of the number of practices that have closed down. But we can talk to the associations of service providers. And I'm sure we can find a way of providing the portfolio committee that information, even if it would be a secondary source. And then a question was asked whether we provided any financial relief to the affected service providers. Honorable Chair and members, the way the legal regulatory framework for the CMS is structured, we receive complaints and issue out directives, but we do not have, you know, a provision in our own law that allows us to provide relief here financially to any party. I've spoken about the fact that our budget is one that is very low in comparison to the resources that sit with the different schemes, administrators. I mean, as an example, a few years back, our budget was only 1.4 million. And the amount of money that schemes collected on an annual basis
run to the extent of 192 billion rand. So, you know, you can actually see that there's a David and Goliath in terms of resources. And Chair, that directly speaks to some of the issues that were raised by the honourable member around, you know, the ability of CMS to regulate effectively and efficiently, and the fact that we only have a staff of about 125 to manage 76 plus schemes, and a lot of administrators, managed care organizations, as well as brokers. So in a sense, if CMS was adequately funded, it would be able to field a number of these people, and I'm certain that it would be able to do a better job than we are currently doing. We were asked what of the recommendations we've accepted and rejected. Chairperson, at this stage, the CMS is busy putting its response to putting it together. I know management has started the mid-year session with council where our responses will be interrogated before these go to the investigation panel itself, before the 5th of March. So at this stage, I cannot say which ones we've accepted and which ones we've rejected and why. The point that has been made around Ms. Letabo Sikedi, who was contesting for a board position at Metro, I think, Honourable Member, we have noted your disquiet around it, and that you say she was disqualified on the basis of receiving flowers for a baby shower. I will go back to CMS and we'll put together a report that we will share with the portfolio committee. But it needs to be understood that part of what we do when board members are appointed, we play that oversight role and make sure that the people that get elected to the Board of Trustees follow the set of recommendations that we have made in terms of their fitness and propriety. So yes, we do intervene when we believe that those recommendations have been transgressed. But like I said, we will present a report. We've noted, you know, the points that were being made around insourcing and outsourcing, and there was also reference made to CMS in particular around this. Chairperson, it comes back to, you know, our ability to regulate effectively and efficiently. Currently, there are certain functions that we are outsourcing, but which we believe need to be insourced. And these relate more to the investigation that we carry out at SPIN. Now, when you use third parties for that kind of a function, there's always a question of whether they are sufficiently objective. They will deliver a report that the CMS can act on, or there's this risk, you know, that they may be detracted through other means. So we've always, in fact, council made a decision a few years back that as soon as it is possible to enforce that entire function, you know, the Council for Medical Schemes will do that. And we believe it will improve our regulatory efficiency and effectiveness. There was also a question of whether we have now gotten rid of our complaints backlog. Honorable members, I think we reported this a year or two ago. Yes, we have been able to clear the complaints backlog. And as we speak, you know, I've just got three reports from the complaints committee. And we have cleared the backlog. And basically, we're back to our turnaround time of 120 days. And we have done some re-engineering of how we manage these complaints processes, and it has yielded results. And I'm sure when you read our annual report for 2020-2021, to demonstrate that progress. There was also a question that was asked here of whether schemes do get audited, and basically the role that we play as CMS, we insist that each and every scheme needs to have an auditor, and we oversee the appointment of these auditors by ensuring that they are fit and proper and that they are registered with the relevant authorities, and we also watch their conduct. Where we picked up that auditors are not acting accordingly, we have terminated the services of some of these auditors in the interest of in the interest of protecting member interests. Chairperson, the rest of the comments, CMS has noted, and like I said, we believe that the panel needs to be able to present itself here, and we will act in support of that, Chairperson, as soon as what even that directive, we will engage with the panel and ensure that they present themselves at the appropriate time. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if Dr. Makiwane or any member of the CNS team wants to add. Thank you.
We can only allow Dr. Makiwane. We have taken a lion's share in answering questions from CMS. Maybe Dr. Makiwane or the deputy can do so that we can move over to the other institution.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I won't be long. I just want to echo the support for the call to have the panel do its own presentation of the report, the joint committees. I would also like to voice our welcome of the sentiments that have been raised about re-inviting the council to come and talk to various issues pertinent to it. We believe that this sort of forum will also assist us as council to move forward with where we have challenges that should be voiced and known by committees and such as. I would like to thank the foresight of the joint committees involving the council in these discussions, because as a regulator, we wouldn't want to be chasing this on the tail. So it is very appreciated that you invite us and so that we are appraised as things happen. So I think I'm very happy with what the CEO and registrar has attended to in terms of questions pertinent to the CMS so far. I won't be adding any more. Thank you very much.
Okay. From Jan.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I do have quite a bit to go through. My colleague Ginny will probably also answer the question on whether fraud is, do we see any trends in terms of the levels of employees within the public service, whether is there any preponderance of fraud in any of the levels. Let me start with Honorable Munyari did just acknowledge the report indicating that it is noted and supported. She lived in a very contested terrain, and we acknowledge those comments. Honorable Kwahube mentioned that the issues around why is it only GEMS and the medical scheme that is here, I think that is noted, that has been discussed generally. But the question that she asked as well was, why did GEMS interdict the report when we had indicated that we support the investigation? This was addressed earlier by the minister, but may I just, by the DM, may I just indicate that the basis was really that we were of the view that the terms of reference provide for us as GEMS being one of the affected parties to comment before the release. And the other factor was that basically the view from legal was that in any inquisitorial investigation, when a report is interim, it is usually shared with the affected parties, and only after their comments are considered is it made a final. We do, however, accept that now that matter is moot, and we are attending to the interim report as we have reported. Honorable Makoni Ntulu did ask a question about the view of the CMS. I think that was answered. And then we were asked, do we provide a capacity building with regard the members and the healthcare providers understanding what is fraud and what is not? We have indicated in our presentation that it is one of the focus areas that we will undertake out of the learnings of the Section 59 investigation when it is final, that anything that we need to educate our members and healthcare providers, we are going to go all out to share the information and educate as best as we possibly can. Then there was a question on what happens if you are under investigation, as a member in this case. Do you just resign from the scheme and then you just escape? The process is that for as long as membership is valid, a member of a medical scheme in terms of the Medical Schemes Act is entitled to the benefits that they have paid for. Benefits cease to have access to benefits only at the time when the medical scheme is terminated. And that is how the Medical Schemes Act interpret the fact that you are entitled to your benefits. At this stage, may I ask my colleague, Ginny, just to address the one which says which levels have a preponderance of committing fraud between the level 1 to 16 of
Stan, why don't you finish those that you are going to deal with and then hand over to someone when you have completed your share?
Oh, okay. I will do so, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the guidance. Then the next question was from Honorable Hasina Ismail, which basically was the report, the media article yesterday. She requested the list of service providers. These are part of the reports, and these have been made. These are part of public record. However, I think this would be one of the questions that we will answer in writing. Then, has the money been? Has there been any money that has been recovered? And as we have stated, that there is two processes underway. We have the criminal process, the scheme opened the case, and then we have the civil litigation case where the scheme is desirous of recovering any recoverable monies. And then the next question was basically, if this happened within the scheme, then there are issues of administration that need to be addressed. And we are saying everything we learn from, for instance, the investigations in 2016. The scheme then reviews all its procedures and policies. Then there are improvements which are made to address whatever has been learned. And I must state that the board has given this a lot of attention, and a lot of our internal processes have been reviewed to ensure that we deal with any issues where there may have been some flaws. The next question was that the opportunity for fraud is high. Will we have systems basically to ensure that these don't happen? We, as I've already stated, there's a review of systems and policies from time to time. GEMS has got internal audit processes. We are also audited by external, and may I at this stage indicate, albeit yes, there has been challenges as we have since its inception, and I think this 14 to 15 years, always had an unqualified audit when the financials are audited at the end of each financial year, which I may say it's an indication of the control measures within the GEMS environment. Then Honorable Gwenda asked, medical schemes are required to have 25% of contribution in the reserves. Are we sure that the reduction, so when we reached the lowest app of 6.19, was it only due to fraud, waste and abuse? And the answer is no. Fraud, waste and abuse was only part of the problem. One of the things after a medical scheme is established, the regulator in terms of the act allows the scheme a period of 5 years to reach 25%. So one then the scheme builds reserves over a period, and then these arrangements are revised from time to time where the regulator will, based on our submissions of our annual financial reports, there may be a need to extend that period that it is allowed to reach 25%. In the case of GEMS, one of the contributing factors was because we were growing very, very, very fast, and it kept our reserve ratio very low, and it has to do with how it is calculated. What happens is that it is based on the projected annual contribution, and if the scheme grows very fast, that annual contribution that is projected is very high, and then 25% becomes a very high amount that you need to have. And that is one of the things that resulted in the slow growth of the reserve ratio. The other contributing factor may have explained is that we also did not have underwriting, and then we also needed to revise some of our managed care processes. Then the next question was that at the Fraud, Waste and Abuse Presidential, the healthcare summit that was held in October, were there black practitioners? And the answer is yes, they were there. Did they raise their concerns about what was being said? These concerns that I indicated were the practitioners raised them, and they came through a set of City Press article that was subsequent to the Fraud, Waste and Abuse summit being held. And then regarding the GEMS lists that we had kept, are these providers provided with information that they will be on the list? As part of the process that would build up to a person being on the list, we first identify where there could have been possible fraud. Then there is a process of engagement with the scheme. And then if there are no possible and satisfactory answers, the next process then only becomes the listing. So they would normally know that there is the investigation which has been triggered by whatever, either a whistleblowing or the trend analysis. Why does GEMS assign a raise to the providers? And the answer is that we do not. We have explained in our submissions that providers' submissions are based on the PCNS. PCNS is a private practice numbering system that is used by the industry. It is generated by the Board of Healthcare Funders, and it is the basis of documenting the records of the healthcare providers who claim from the scheme. I have answered, this question is repeating the one of the interdicts. And then, is there another review of the GEMS fraud, waste and abuse process underway now in the light of the Section 59 interim report? The answer is, as we have indicated, that we continue to improve on the systems based on our learnings. And the Section 59 report interim, it is at the moment, we already taking our learnings from that, and even in the final report, we will look at what are the findings when they are finalized, and we will continue to work on our process to improve so that we are not seen not to have responded to these. Honourable Chura raised a very serious concern about germs as it relates to the interim report, particularly the accusations relating to racial profiling. Those inputs from Honourable Chura are noted, and we, as we have said, everything that comes out of this forum, we will consider and take serious note of this, and James will do everything to correct wherever we may have been blinded. Which are the companies that are mentioned in the 300 News 24 article? I have indicated that these companies in the records that are public have been mentioned, and the executives are also mentioned very clearly in our reports. I think we will, what we need to do, again, as I said, these are the questions that we need to just answer based on the reports that we have. Why is the corruption only being responded to now? The answer is that, no, it is not only now that we are responding to this. These reports come from 2016. The Board of Trustees, in executing their duties, they authorized and commissioned that there be a forensic report. And this report, as we have indicated, have been shared with the regulator. This report have been reported on in our annual reports. And we have really been very open in ensuring that information relating to this matter is known. What is GEMS doing to ensure that it self-corrects? I have already indicated that we have said that we will look into anything that comes out of the reports that we need to correct, and processes will be put underway that we correct anything that we may have been found that it wasn't been done correctly. What effort is being done to ensure that outsourcing is minimized?
Stan, you will not finish. Stan, you will not finish. Please don't read the question. Just give me the responses. We will not finish.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. With regard to outsourcing, James started the program. The cleaning staff and the security staff was previously outsourced. Now it's fully insourced. How will GEMS, the next issue of NHI, we are doing everything to ensure that the organization is readying itself for an environment where NHI will be implemented, and will continue to do everything to position GEMS as an able entity. The process of recovery, recovery of the money relating to 300, there is both a criminal process and a civil litigation process. I've already dealt with the interdict. What happens if the defaulting healthcare professionals can't pay? We have entered into arrangements with the healthcare providers, and they indicate to us, and this has really been the case with the pandemic, the professionals being affected negatively, where they then approach the scheme and make arrangements for new arrangements for payments. And in our engagements, we deal with them in that way. We'll do everything to ensure, and this is another question of what will we do to ensure that there is no corruption. GEMS put systems in place to ensure that corruption is dealt with adequately, and as we have indicated, the board has given this focus. GEMS is a medical scheme without a steering committee. The governance processes within GEMS are in line with the Medical Schemes Act.
Yes, Honorable Chira, what point of order is there?
I just want to ask that our questions are being answered properly, because we are getting vague answers. Our questions are very
clear. Honorable Chira, that's not a point of order.
What systems are being put in place?
Let us get into
in place. What are those systems that will root up corruptions? Name them. We want to know the details. Don't repeat the question and give us vague answers. That's all I'm asking, because here, Fana, then why are we convening if we're going to get vague answers that we put systems in place? What are those systems?
Honorable Chirwa, we know the procedure. We allow the presenter to complete the questions. If there are follow-ups, we'll do so. Please.
Is James recruiting
permanent employees? Please do not repeat, Dr. Moluapi. Don't repeat questions. Do not repeat questions. Give your responses.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, James. Yes, James is recruiting permanent and employees going forward in reducing outsourcing. The Medical Schemes Act is Medical Schemes Act 131 of 1998. Needed to correct this. James financially at the moment has recovered from the 2016 event, in that a lot of work has been put into final recovery, and that includes the claims management forum that I've alluded to. The implementation of NHI, our view that it's a very huge undertaking. At any point in time, we are working very hard to ensure that we, GEMS, get itself ready for when implementation is done. The issue of surnames in the report is noted. We also responded to that by saying that the use of surnames, the way it has been used in the interim report, can be misleading and can lead to results that are biased. Will GEMS be taking, the GEMS has not taken any decision to take the report or the interim report on review. Honorable Geller, we note and the submission. I think the next points are based on waiting for the final report before final decisions can be taken at the level of the forum. GEMS is audited. The Auditor General does not audit medical schemes, but Dr. Kabani has alluded to this. We are audited. And then in terms of the Media 24 report, it is not a new thing. This report comes from 2016, and GEMS has responded by making available the reports that it undertook after this report came about. The gender representation is noted. We are working hard to ensure that we support the implementation of NHI, and as I indicated, we'll continue working hard to ensure that GEMS becomes an organization that is able to assist in the implementation of NHI. The Dr. Jacobs does, these were basically comments, and I note the three findings that he highlighted, and this we have addressed in the report: the issue of racial discrimination, imbalance of power between scheme and administrations. And then in terms of the outcomes of this report, we have committed again, as I said, that GEMS will look into the final outcomes that are factual, and we will respond accordingly in terms of making improvements to the matters that will come out of the report. The last comment was on why is it only GEMS today? I think that has been answered. And then we will avail ourselves, Chairperson, when we are asked to come in of the scheme. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, we need to bring the meeting to a close in the next 15 minutes. I'm going to allow now the Deputy Minister to make her remarks and responses. Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And let me also welcome the questions that have been asked by Honourable members, but also the comments that they've made and input as well. We agree with the members that corruption is a problem and it should not be allowed anywhere, and it should be presented. And probably I do believe that maybe Honorable Chira is not out of line by actually saying, give us the details of what you are doing to fight corruption, because it is indeed something that is keeping us back as a country if it is allowed to continue. And therefore, it has to be prevented, and I want to believe that we've put quite a number of systems in place, including legislation, PFMA, for instance, the advertising of tenders, the rigorous processes that will include your bid adjudication committees, the appointment of audit and risk committees by boards, and discussing all these things. And these are systems that are put in place, but they can actually add onto very specific systems that they put in place in, at GEMS to ensure that they're able to prevent any corruption from happening. However, people being people, particularly those that are corrupt and are helping to steal from the state, they will always find a way of circumventing those systems that are put in place. And then it becomes critical that you put, again, systems that will ensure that at a particular, if that happens, we are able to detect, deal with it. If there is corruption that has been detected, there are two ways of dealing with it. First is the in fact, the internal processes, which will include a disciplinary procedure, which must be followed up to the end. But also, corruption and fraud is a crime that must be reported to law enforcement agencies, so that even if a person decides to leave the institution, but he faces the full might of the law because the case has been reported. And I think the questions to say, of that money that was fraudulently used and so on, what has been the progress with regards to cases that have been reported to the police? And I think those are fair questions which I think we might have to provide members of parliament with information, even if the question itself or the article, the media article, is based on something that happened in the past, the forensic investigations that happened in the past, the interventions that happened in the past. But of course, it was published yesterday, and it looks like it's something that happened now, but it's something that happened. But I think it's important that we provide members with the information to say, this is what we have done, because I think on that score, particularly on an issue of corruption, members might be asking a fair question to say, but give us more on this subject. On the issue, Chairperson is asked by Honourable Member to say, but do you think that the interdict was fair? For me, Chairperson, the issue was to say, GEMS was saying, we've been investigated, and it's fair that we do not hear at the same time as ordinary person. Give us the report, but give us the opportunity to probably to respond to things that we believe they might not be that correct. They may be correct, but not be that correct, so that we correct those before you finalize the report. This meeting today and the issues that have been raised by honorable members, they are confirming the difficulty of dealing with an interim report, because you don't know whether what you're going to have at the end with the final report is exactly what you are having in the report right now. So take it as facts or not facts and so on. So that is the problem. I think that is what I was talking about to say. Probably it was not like an absurd request. It was a fair report, a request to say, provide us with the opportunity to see the report. We are implicated so that we can correct it, so that when you go out, you actually publish a complete report. But of course, that is not an issue now. The interim report is out there. We are dealing with it today. I will therefore support the view that says, let's get the panel to come before the portfolio committees and probably other schemes as well to come and raise the issue, so that they too are provided with a fair opportunity to respond to the report. The interim report, Comrade Chairperson, I regard it as providing us, but also GEMS in particular, to look and attend to its blind spots. Because you are in it, you are doing this work every day, there might be things that are easily detected by somebody who comes from outside. And I think that is why we believe that GEMS should not just throw this report away, but should find ways, even the Board of Trustees, find ways of looking into the report objectively and see those issues that they think might connect some attention. And therefore, we think that GEMS should revisit the governance issues on how they deal with fraud, waste, and abuse. And we think that they are already doing that, but they've got to ensure that those standards and the processes and procedures
are effective, they are monitored, but that they are applied uniformly and consistently, particularly at the time when human factors come into play. Because the report itself is saying there appears to be no dispute or evidence of explicit racial bias in the algorithms and methods that the administrators and schemes use to identify FWA. And it is important to mention that the data imputed in these systems do not contain details of race. But at a particular time, then the human factor comes in, and we think that schemes should look into that, where humans come into play, where they go and interview people, that they do that uniformly, consistently, without looking. If they've got to ask for a diary from this one, it must be because for all of them, they will ask for a diary and that information will be enough. So that's what we think they've got to look into. And we believe that Chairperson, GEM should continue to cooperate as it has been doing, to cooperate with the Section 659 investigation, but also we agree with members that as soon as the final report is available, it will be important that we then come back to deal with that. GEMS is readying itself to administer any NHI. And for people that are in favor of NHI, yes, it's good news, but for others who are not, and therefore we might expect that from time to time it might receive some, I'm not talking about the report now, some negative, it may be publicized wrongly and negatively. But as far as we are concerned, we think that GEMS is a progressive medical scheme for our public servants. It strives to be the best in the country, and it is one of the best, we believe, and welcome its scrutiny as it prepares itself to administer NHI. And members of the portfolio committee can invite them to come and brief them on to administer NHI. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Again, we welcome the input from the members. Thank you.
Honorable members, the request that I'm receiving for follow-ups will go in the following manner. You will write to our respective secretaries, because even if you do ask now, there won't be time and space to answer your questions. So they will be written down and be forwarded to the respective organizations and institutions that you've requested to. Honorable Deputy Minister, you have already summarized the two points I wanted to raise as part of what has been rhyming from all members, that this interim report is there. We note it. It is assisting us, but we will still wait for a final report. I would therefore venture to say, honorable members, maybe let us not invite Advocate Ngubai Dobie to give us this report that we already have, but instead start with him to bring the final report. Because as the Honorable Kwakubo was saying, like the horse is ahead of the cart. So we did it in that way. We then invite them for a final report. And then thereafter, we also, it's fair to bring the other two institutions that are there that were mentioned in the report for the completeness. And then, but I'll share that with my other co-chair. I think from reading the contributions of the other members, that is the way that one would go. But with you, Dr. Kabane, in charge of most medical aid, we still have to have much more meetings with you, maybe downloading, understanding your financials and other challenges. You'd recall that in the previous meetings with yourself, as Dr. Honorable Lesomo was trying to separate, we still have an oversight over you as an entity into government, especially specifically Department of Health. So our engagement with you is not only about this report, it's about many other issues that you are involved in. It has been part of a difficult meeting. The first time we have a joint meeting with the Public Service and Administration colleagues, and Honorable Lesom was trying to separate our tasks, sometimes not possible to do that. But Honorable Members, please, because we have to bring this meeting to a close at 1 o'clock, please forward your questions to the secretaries. We will forward them to the members
of these teams. But I must actually ask if I'm leaving out Dr. Shachai. Dr. Shachai, as a board chair, you'd like to say something?
Thank you so much, Chair. I think the DM has covered everything, but I would also like to thank the Portfolio Committee for having invited us to just give the side of our story. But otherwise, I think the DM has covered everything. Thank you so much, Chair.
We just hope and pray that your side of the story will still stand even after the final report.
I promise you that.
With those honourable members, thank you very much. We'll meet in another hour for another engagement in the National Assembly. Thank you very much to the leadership from the Deputy Minister. Thank you to leadership of the Council of Medical Schemes led by Dr. Memela Matiwane, and lastly to Dr. Melissa Joyo leading with James. Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Chair.